Mike Show anytime for free at 1-877-365-3636. But please, turn your radio down and no calls to play the name game. No who would you do call. No calls about rating women. No calls asking when are we coming to your town. And no jokes. That's 1-877-365-3636.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Even all the way in New York City. Well, let me get a better level. Even all the way in New York City. The levels are all different today.
Well, was somebody in here messing around with it?
I guess. Here's the point. Even though we're still in New York, it still gives me great joy to introduce Philip J. Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
Look at us. We're cooking with the fog.
Yay.
Afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Dancing Shrimp and all the ships at sea. Hey, making you laugh until your belly button pops and leaks. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, everybody. Well, here it is. It is Thursday, and it's April 13. Telephone number 1-877-365-3636. We did survive our first night in the big city.
Barely.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and some of us had more of a night than others.
Some of us had way too much night.
Too much night that has started to creep into too much day.
Yes, that is so true. But we have a view today. We actually can see out our window here in New York City.
Yes, now what we've done is actually send Charlie Broyhill next door. There are windows. There's a double set of windows, and then there are blinds, or I should say there were blinds.
Are those tinted windows, too? Is that what I'm looking at?
Yeah, he simply tore down the blinds so we can now effectively look across the street at the apartment building across the street from WNEW, where I've been told chicks like undressing and shaving their legs and stuff in front of the window.
I believe around the studios at NEW, they call this the J.O. studio. That's what they're calling it.
That was even before we got here.
Before we got here, yeah, because there apparently are ladies that are in various stages of undress across the way.
Well, we will be able to check them out during today's show. We now have a beautiful view of the window that leads to the building right across the street. We hope to be playing the Nude Family Feud today. Now, it's nice to know that even when we take the show on the road...
That's right.
We fly on an airplane for an hour to come to New York City to play the Nude Feud. When I arrived today,
yes.
Guess who was waiting?
Who?
Guys.
Yeah, big, sloppy, fat guys.
Yeah, no girls.
No.
Just guys showing up for the Nude Feud. So what we're going to do, maybe in the next break, is send Rob out on the street, on the streets of New York with a cell phone, and just see if he can get some people to come in and play the game.
He's the right man for that job, because this boy has come alive in New York City.
Yes, he loves his New York City.
He loves New York City. He could live on the streets here.
And I know that we all have celebrity sightings to talk about.
Yeah, everybody bumped into a celebrity. Well, I guess you didn't. Right?
Oh, I did.
You did.
I did this morning. See, I don't leave it in the locker room.
Right.
I don't tell you stuff before we go on the air, like you told me today about who you met last night.
That's right.
I purposely didn't tell you who I saw.
I didn't tell you all the details of my celebrity sighting. That we ended up in bed.
Oh, you would. So you had sex with Jack Wagner?
Yes, I did, Don. Absolutely.
Well, I wish I had sex with the person that I saw who actually said hello to me today.
Said hello to you?
In Central Park, yes.
What, were you out there jogging?
I was running in Central Park this morning.
From someone or actually doing it for exercise?
No, just because it seemed like the thing to do, because I was up and I had nothing to do.
And this person said hello to you first?
Yes. Well, I was staring at her.
Should we have a guessing contest for this celebrity?
Yeah, okay, I'll give you a guess. She's, I thought, more puffy in person than she appears on the television. Very puffy face.
On the television. Would this be a news person?
No, absolutely not.
All right, this is a TV person?
A TV person. And
sitcom or drama?
Yes. And I was running around Central Park, and I got right to the end of the park where you cross the street to walk towards the hotel that we're staying at.
Right.
And I looked over to my left, and there she was. She was just standing there, and I guess, just like the big goober that I am, my jaw just kind of dropped open.
And you were staring.
And I stared at her, and then she stared back, and she said, hello. And I said, hi. And then she turned and walked away.
Would this celebrity be considered a foxy lady?
Not by me, but by some.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Puffy.
Has she hit the wall yet?
I think she is one with the wall.
She is one with the wall.
Although that's just my opinion. There are some. In fact, there is one guy in this room who thinks she's very hot.
Would the one guy be me?
No.
Okay.
No, the one guy's Buzz. I think Buzz thinks this girl's hot. Doesn't he, Rob?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I told Rob I have to tell somebody the good stuff that happens to me.
Wow.
Somebody I like you think's puffy.
All right. Well, listen. We're wasting time with this. We have telephone calls. It was Jenna Elfman.
Jenna Elfman.
It was Dharma.
Oh really?
From Dharma and Greg with their big, puffy, bloated, sleep-deprived eyes.
Oh God.
Just standing on the corner in Central Park about 7 o'clock.
She's got a nice body. Though she was on I think Letterman the other night.
She had a coat on. It's friggin' freezing here in New York.
Yes, it is.
And of course, I didn't bring a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got done with this bit of this limited athletic run this morning,
right.
I went out to buy a jacket, and you realize, Jesus Christ, things are expensive here.
Yes. Yes, that would follow. This is New York City, where a sandwich costs $10.
And I went into this store to buy this. As a matter of fact, this little
hand. Awesome.
This
very
little
nice
pullover raincoat that I bought.
How much do you pay for that?
$49 friggin' dollars.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Good deal.
It's like a piece of plastic.
So I go to the store to buy it, and I'm looking through the rack, and I go small, 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 medium, large. Okay, great. I take it off the rack, and as soon as I take it off the rack, the rack starts going, beep, beep, beep.
Shoplifter, shoplifter, shoplifter.
And I realize what they've done is, because they trust nobody here,
right?
They have taken every single item of clothing that's on this rack,
yeah,
and they're all tagged electronically.
So it's like kind of a clip, and if you pull it off, you're screwed.
And you have to, no, it wouldn't leave.
Oh, really?
I mean, if you take it off the rack.
Is that when you were wrestled to the ground by security?
And move 2 or 3 feet with it, this alarm goes off, and the lady came over and looked at me like I'm an idiot. She said, what do you want? I said, well, I think I want to buy this jacket. She said, well, what are you doing? I said, I want to buy the jacket. She said, if you want to buy something, you have to ask somebody to come over and take it out for you.
The city that never sleeps.
There it is. New York, New York.
New York, the friendliest town on earth.
All right, let's take a telephone call. Then I want to talk about what we did last night. And,
yes, we had a very festive evening last night.
And you, as I mentioned, with Jack Wagner. And,
yes.
And Rob had a little something with somebody.
That's right.
Let's go to Terry, who's calling us from the Bronx. Let's go to Terry. Hello, Terry.
Hey, yeah, we're feeling kind of bad that they made you leave D.C. What's up with that?
You're feeling bad that they made us leave D.C.?
Yeah.
Why? Why do you feel bad about that, honey?
Why'd they make you leave?
They didn't make us leave.
I thought that was what happened.
No, honey, we're here for you. You're calling from the Bronx, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, listen, we're here for you.
We're here for you specifically because we care about you.
You don't know us.
What?
You don't know us.
No, but see, we do know this. We do know that people in New York will not accept anything that's not in New York.
That's not true.
Oh, it's very
not true.
True.
Not true.
It's very true. You guys hate outsiders in New York.
No, they don't.
And so now we're not outsiders. We're better than Hillary Clinton. We're one step above carpetbaggers.
That's
we're,
right.
We're going to be here a couple of days a week.
But you're still from D.C.
We're still from D.C., but right. We are here for you. That's what you have to remember. And I would be a little more grateful and a little less argumentative.
Why? I mean, why? Well, I don't think.
Stop arguing.
Why did you leave D.C.?
Stop
why
arguing.
Why did you leave?
Stop arguing.
They didn't make us leave. Why did God make you such a cunny? That is
not right.
That is the greater question.
I'm a guy in New York.
What?
And there's love here.
Another
I tell
friend
you.
Made.
They love us.
That's I just felt incredible love. I know she sounded hostile, mm-hmm. But below the surface there was love coming from that woman.
All right, let's go to, I don't have the name here. Just go to another call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddies.
Hey, Mike the CP comic.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Mike? Where are you?
Good, I'm in Baltimore.
Wonderful.
So, congrats on being up there.
We're very happy to be up here.
Thank you, Mike.
Have you ever done your stand-up act in New York?
Yes, Caroline's.
Oh, the big one, all right.
It's a really nice room up there. Wow.
Is this echo thing, is this happening over the air? Or is this just something we're hearing in our headphones right now? Jimmy? Hey, Jimmy?
Just in your ears.
Okay, all right, sorry about that. Yes, yes, Mike.
Don, I have a question for you, if I may.
Hey, Jimmy, why don't you take the telephone Well, how do I do the buttons there? Push the audition button so it's out of audition. That'll make the phone sound better.
Then you won't hear it.
But I won't hear it.
Isn't there a playback that you've got there on the phones? That,
no.
I don't have anything.
I just got one button here.
I thought you were playing with a button yesterday that helped that.
No, I wasn't.
It's weird. It sounds like we're in a tunnel. I know you guys can't hear this, but
it sounds weird to us.
It's really a wind tunnel right now.
Oh, listen, Mike, what can we do for you? I'm sorry. Well, what did you want?
Don, just a quick question. What would I need to do for you to get an introduction to your friend with Comic Relief?
Oh, you mean Joe Trione?
Yeah, I would just like to introduce myself and maybe give him my tape and take it from there.
Well, Mike, the CP comment, I'll tell you exactly what you have to do. You have to sleep with Don make that happen.
All right, put Mike on hold. I'll get his information. Let's go to Johnny in Sacramento. Johnny.
Hi-o.
Johnny.
Yeah.
Johnny,
wild,
buddy.
Wild stuff.
Hi, Johnny. Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
All right. Well, I was just wondering how the women are down there in New York, compared to, you know, somewhere like California or Washington.
There are some hot women here. There are some real beasts walking the street also. I would say for every hot woman that I've spotted today, there's about 10 Joy Behars walking around.
And then there are some Raymond's Mothers, you know, that we have.
Yeah.
I was in back of a Raymond's Mother.
Lots of Doris Roberts and Joy Behars.
Yeah, I was in back of a Doris Roberts, and the only difference between this woman and the real Doris Roberts, this woman had about 3 hairs in her head.
Oh.
Have you seen the bald women, you know, with hair so thin, and it was orange. Her hair, it was like Bozo hair.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, you're welcome, and have a good day.
All right. Is that okay? Have a good day, man.
Yeah, man.
All right. Thank you, man. I definitely don't want to talk to Dennis Murphy. Go ahead. Put him through. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, God, hey, Mike, are you enjoying your stay in New York?
Yes.
Absolutely. It's not the same without you here.
Mike, I was in New York a couple of years ago, and I hate people bumping into me.
Really? Are you sure they were bumping into you, or were they just trying to rub up against you?
Well, they look at you and say, get out of the way, I got the flu. So basically, that's what's going on.
Well, Dennis, I would think that the easiest way for you to clear traffic would just be to produce your stump.
Absolutely.
And people shy away. I don't understand why.
If you just walk down the street and wield your stump as if it were a sword, beautiful, you would have a clear path all the way through Manhattan.
Is it true, Dennis, that every time you hailed a cab, people tried to give you money?
What I do is
miss
my pants legal.
What?
You get what?
I miss my pants legal.
What does this say? That it is tougher to understand Dennis Murphy than it is to understand Mike, the comic with cerebral palsy.
This is true. Dennis is having one of it. Maybe it's the distance factor.
I'm sorry, Mike.
All right. Don't apologize.
All right, thank you. Goodbye, Dennis. Goodbye.
Okay.
Enough with that. Thank you. Thank you for getting rid of him. Also wanted to just give a quick get well to my boy.
How's he doing with the ear?
Well, his ear is still killing him. And from what Frida tells me, I don't know if this is common or not, but they've been going through a real fuster cluck with the doctors.
Really?
The deal is that the pediatrician is in an office with like 7 or 8 other pediatricians.
Mm-hmm.
And to call is not an easy thing. That she would call and get a busy signal.
Right.
For like 2 hours, then she would finally get through,
mm-hmm.
and a nurse would say, okay, I've got the message, I'll call the doctor, I'll tell the doctor, and the doctor will call you back.
Right.
Then they would sit by the phone, Bart screaming because he's got this bad ear infection,
mm-hmm.
Frida worried because she doesn't know what to do, the doctor never calls back, they waited a couple of hours, they call the doctor's office, and they get this message at a doctor's office. Hello, you've reached the doctor's office of Burbank, O'Mara, and Spiewak. We are currently out to lunch.
Everybody?
Everybody. Nobody answers the phone from noon until 2 in this doctor's office.
Oh, that sucks.
Right.
That's unacceptable.
So that just, I never heard of a doctor's office that closes for lunch.
It's like shutting down the whole thing.
So they finally,
it's like a sneaker store.
So they finally got through to the doctor very late last night,
mm-hmm.
and Dr. Detroit, Dr. Giggles, Dr. Demento, whoever it is, his brilliant piece of advice was to give him more of the pain medicine. Oh, terrific.
Yeah, thank you.
Is he on like an antibiotic or something like
that? Yeah, he's on something stronger than that now.
Wow.
So he's doing awful. Hope you feel better. I'll be back home tonight.
Yeah.
Although last night, I just felt a pang of guilt that was with me for maybe 30 seconds.
A nanosecond.
Just in the blink of an eye.
Right.
When I got back to the hotel and called home after our wonderful evening out at the Palm restaurant.
That's right.
And I called home and Frida picked up the line and she said, "Hello." And I knew that's the sound of a mother that's been up 24 hours straight.
Yes, dealing with the emergency.
And, you know, I just rolled in from our dinner and I'm laying on the bed, got the remote control going, "Hey, baby, what are you doing?"
Happy man.
And she said, "He's finally sleeping. I'm trying to sleep." And, you know, at that point,
right.
I was chatty.
Sure.
I was like, "Hey, listen, we did the first show from New York and we went to the Palm tonight. I'm very glad for you." Goodbye. And just for a nanosecond.
She did not share the euphoria of the moment?
No, for a nanosecond I felt a little guilty about it.
But then it went away very quickly.
Yeah, immediately, as soon as I found out the SpectraVision was available.
We were certainly the happy caballeros last night.
And the SpectraVision in the hotel?
Yes.
Not available until 9:30 p.m.
Yeah, it's the old way. It used to be like that, where it's available, Don. It's just not available with the selections you want.
Yeah, right, with the triple X rated action.
Boobtown is not available till after 9:30. And that's the way they used to do it. And, you know, believe it or not, the cutting edge, New York City, a little behind the times in that hotel.
But I want to tell you something. I think that this will appeal to your pioneering spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to make do today with American Beauty.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that movie has its moments that could accomplish the job.
And that's the specific reason that I rented American Beauty today.
The blonde girl or the brunette girl?
Well, the brunette girl takes off her shirt first.
Was so, that it? That got you started and finished.
When she was standing at the window.
Right.
When the weird kid Ricky across the street is taking a home movie of her and she takes off her shirt, then she very slowly takes off her bra.
And she knows he's looking at her?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
She really knows it. So that's what I did today.
American Beauty.
I ran in the park, then I saw Jenna Elfman, and then I rented American Beauty. Just for that reason.
That's good. You know, and did your room have a VCR like mine did?
Yes, it did.
So maybe you could just take a copy of American Beauty on the road with you next time when it comes out on video.
Well, God knows there's enough 24-hour porno shops in this city.
Oh, yeah, but I'm, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little afeared to walk into one of those places because they all look like if you walked in, you might not walk out.
Yeah. So last night, when we went, well, I'll get you over that fear.
You'll go with me, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Yeah, it's a date.
Last night when we got out of here, we went back to the hotel. Everybody got the three S's, you know, an S, a shower, and a shave.
Right.
And we came back down, and we went to dine at the beautiful Palm Restaurant in Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah, it's a brand new one that is just opened up in this part of New York City, and we had a terrific dinner.
We had a fantastic, we ate like pigs, we drank like kings, we had a good two-hour meal, we had fun when Buzz got up to go to the bathroom, we stole his chair.
Stole his chair so he didn't have any place to sit when he came back from the can.
What's up? And it was about 2 hours of fun.
Right.
And it was at that point, you know, I'd reached my limit.
Yes.
I had way too much to drink, way too much to eat.
We cajoled you a little bit, but you still didn't do it. You still didn't want to come out with us.
No, and then we
And of course, your son, Charlie Broyhill, he never wants to go out. We were lucky that he had as much of a good time as he did, so he pulled the plug early, too.
Yeah, we broke off into our splinter groups that both Charlie and I retired for the evening, and Mike...
That's the city that never sleeps, so Buzz and Rob and myself, we all went out on the town.
Yeah, Mike and Rob went out, and they really strong-armed poor Buzz into going with them. Buzz, who virtually has no will of his own. I was getting out of the car at my hotel.
Right.
I know that Buzz, you looked to me like you wanted to call it a night, and then Mike said, "Hey, come on, go out with us." And then the next thing you know, you go, okay.
Both doors to the limo were physically blocked. There was no way that I could get out without hurting somebody.
You know, rarely, normally I'll let Buzz go of his free will, but I'll tell you, I wanted another person besides, it's always Rob and I, and we wanted a third.
I'm glad.
And we had Buzz come downtown with us, and we ended up having just a lovely evening.
Where did you guys guys go?
We went to a place, is it in the village, Rob? Yeah, Greenwich Blue Village?
Note. East Village.
The
really? Blue Note. Went to the village.
Blue Note, a famous jazz club.
Oh, I could think of nothing more boring than going to a jazz club.
And we walked in, and on stage was jazz legend Herbie Mann, who is a famous jazz player. He's a guy that's 70 years old. He's been doing it for a million years.
Never heard of him.
And we were, well, Rob and I had, and Rob and I were instantaneously excited that, you know, this is a big name in the jazz world. And we walk in, and it's very quiet because he's a jazz flautist. And he's playing like this. And the doorman says, all right, you have to be very quiet. We'll take you to a table. It's almost the end of the first set. So we tiptoe in, and he's up there going, and we're just digging it. It's very New York. And we sat down, and we hung out, and we had a fantastic time.
Were you wearing your New York outfit?
Yes, I was wearing my New York outfit.
You know, I forgot to tell you that. I got this yesterday from Mike. We were walking down the street.
I used to have my L.A. outfit. Now I've got my New York outfit.
And he announces it to me. He says, you see what I'm wearing?
Yes.
This is the New York outfit. This is the New York look. As opposed to...
I've got the... this is day two of the New York look. This is the same New York look that I have.
As opposed to the California look.
The California look is has been replaced by the New York look, which is the T-shirt, the V-neck sweater, and the dark sport coat on top of that, and usually a pair of khaki pants and dark shoes.
Good on that is the New York look.
That is the look that most people want to know better. Absolutely. And I felt very... You know, this look, not only comfortable to wear, but comfortable for almost any situation in New York City. So I like this look.
So how late were you guys out last night? You dropped me off about 10.
Well, after we came back from the Blue Note, after that, Rob and Buzz were dropped off at their hotel. Mm-hmm. And then he took me back to my hotel. And, well, I must admit that I just didn't want the evening to end. And I noticed that there was a rather crowded bistro right next to our hotel. You know when you go into our hotel and you look to the left and it's that little door?
Right.
And there were people in there, and I just decided I'd sit like a lonely drunk at the bar. I'm not proud of it, but so my evening actually ended later than all of your evenings.
Wow.
Because
shocker.
You know what? I'm looking at it this way. I got it out of my system. I really did. I don't think...
Yeah, until next Tuesday. Until we come back next week.
Well, no, next Tuesday, Rob and I are going to go to the theater.
Oh, that's right.
We're going to do it. And, you know, that is basically your reaction. Every time I say I'm doing anything in New York City... You know, you were so... It's funny the way you react to that, because last night when we were at the Palm...
You were such a fag.
And I said, we're going to go down to a jazz club, and you flipped me off. right before you told the manager of the Palm, see you next week.
Well, he will.
Because, you know, we will go to the Palm, and you said this to me earlier, you would be content to go to your hotel room, go to the same restaurant for 2 years in New York City.
Yeah.
Every single... And I know that about you.
You go to the Palm, you know what you're going to get. No matter what Palm restaurant you go to, you get... A Caesar salad, a shrimp cocktail, and a porterhouse steak, and it always tastes great.
There is no reason, in your mind, to see the city, you know, venture out into the city with the greatest restaurants in the world.
No!
With every type of cuisine imaginable.
I'm happy staying within a one-block radius of WNEWFM every time we come to New York.
See, I'm looking at all these trips up to New York as really almost like fact-finding missions, where I am trying to know as
Don't
much
you
as
mean
possible.
Fag-finding missions?
No.
Jazz club, going to Broadway.
We're gonna do. Rob and I plan to do more than one or two shows. We're gonna do. I plan to see everything in this city, and then go to as many different restaurants as I can.
Good for you.
I'm not gonna do the regular tourist crap, but I do want to go to the different restaurants and the different places to see to see shows. I mean, we're here. What the hell? We got a night to kill. You know, we're gonna do that. And
but we got rooms. We got TVs.
It's true, but you just. Live this city, Don. Get out and experience it.
You know, I hate people.
I know, and somehow I find that charming, too. You're just going to hang out in your room, in your underwear, put your pants on to go to the Palm and come back home.
Correct.
That's
my routine. So you get back from this night of carousing.
Yes.
You go for one more.
Yeah.
It's got to be like, what, 1:30?
It was, I don't know. It was something like that. Probably 12:30. It was probably 12:30, what, 12:30, quarter of one?
One, close to one.
Yeah, close to 1 o'clock.
Okay. Okay.
It was really time.
So it was very late for a school night.
Let me tell you right now, it was time for me to go to bed. I should have gone to bed. I really should have, and I was regretting it up until, and I was getting ready to leave, because I just went in there for one, when suddenly a celebrity entourage came in, and the celebrity was the one and only, the stud of studs, Mr. Jack Wagner.
Andy Bobbitt, appearing on Broadway as Jekyll and Hyde.
Wagner, ladies and gentlemen. Jack Wagner, and he came in, and I was sitting at the very end of the bar.
You know, every loser, no talent in the world, gets a job on Broadway now. Jack Wagner and Tom Wopat appearing on Broadway at the same time.
Well, Jack Wagner, you know, I was feeling, shall we say, unshy at that moment, and I was...
You had lots of courage throughout the
evening. I had total courage. The kind of courage where I was sitting at the end of the bar, and when Jack Wagner came in, he actually, there were three of these people, four people, and Jack was one of them, and he pulls up a bar stool, and they all sit along the bar, and he was right next to me, and he actually sat next to me, and at that moment, I think I was very, very shy and said something like, really loud, Jack Wagner! And it was at that moment that he got up and he switched seats with another guy and went to the farthest point away from me. Ooh. And I had literally scared him away.
Did you run after him?
I had said something. You know, I know the only thing I know about Jack Wagner is that
he's dreamy.
He's on that celebrity golf circuit. And he plays. He's a great golfer, and I've always been jealous of Jack Wagner because of that. That's the truth. It's the only thing I knew about him. And I think.
And you like the way he fills out his slacks.
Yeah, he is super dreamy, and I really think I said something along the lines of Jack Wagner, big golfer, golf. Big club, me, Jack Wagner. And at that moment, Jack...
Did you throw out the name of the country club that you...
Oh, immediately, immediately. And you know what I also... This is how pathetic. Now it's all, unfortunately, it's all rushing back to me now. I dropped Joe Theismann's name, too.
Because, you must have really been drunk.
Because Joe...
Jack, do you know Joe Theismann?
That's right. He said he did, and then he ran away.
I know Joe Theismann.
I know Joe Theismann. I know Joe. But it was at that moment where I befriended Jack Wagner's manager, who was also there, and he was the nicest guy. I mean, it was one of the nicest guys.
Jesus.
I love you, man. And then by the end of the evening, before they were about to leave, Jack Wagner came over, and we were talking golf. As a matter of fact, he was showing me how to do a little flop shot, because I saw him in a celebrity tournament one time with his short game.
Did
and he was actually, you know, he was at, so we were actually practicing
did he
swings.
Do that, did he do that thing where he puts his arms around your arms and says, now keep your elbows straight?
No, he did, but
he didn't put his hands on your hips at any time.
No, did I want him to, though? I wanted him to so badly. As a matter of fact, when he started talking about the swing,
JW,
I turned my back to him, and I was starting to back into him, sort of like presenting myself to him, like, I wish to have you, but no, I was
presenting your ass to him.
I presented to Jack Wagner. He was, you know, he got a little friendlier, and then they all split, and I had, you know, I got the number of the manager, and I asked Jack to come on the show sometime, and he said...
Oh, I'm sure he's going to take us up on that offer.
No, I don't think it's ever going to happen. But I did have the presence of mind. I never do this. I had the presence of mind to get the manager's phone number and said that Charlie might try to call him and get him on the show. And he's, you know, he's in New York on Broadway, I think. And,
of course, because anybody can get on Broadway. Well, Greg Brady might as well try to get on Broadway.
You know, maybe we could have Greg Brady and Jack Wagner together at the same time in the...
Oh, that'd be slap nut good.
And it was then that I decided that I'd had too much day to bed.
Really?
What a day. And I, you know, had a nice brief sleep and woke up at about noon. Noon, and noon was morning to me at that moment.
Well, you know, I, of course, am still on the same body clock.
Right.
Go to bed at 10, get up at 6.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was sitting on the bed at about 9 o'clock this morning,
right,
watching my third hour of television and having like my 18th cup of coffee, the phone rings, and nice to know that even when we travel,
yes,
now I've called you a fag, I will call myself a fag, and I will call Rob a fag, right? Because at 9:05, the room phone rings, and I pick it up, and I go, hello? And it's Rob, and Rob says, are you watching? And I go, yes, I can't believe it. And of course, we are watching Regis.
There you go, boys.
And we are watching the girl who wants to replace Kathy C.
Oh, really? The lady from, is that the MSNBC
yeah,
lady?
The Money Honey, and
right,
her new name is going to be the Money Honey Cunny. Because she was awful.
Was she guest hosting? Is that
yes,
what she was doing?
Yes, there was absolutely zero chemistry between
she's
her.
She's not all that hot. I don't think she's all
not
that hot.
Not at all.
No, not at all.
Zero chemistry between her and Regis.
Right.
And as I was sitting on the toilet, I was on the toilet watching Regis.
Right.
And, you know, they got the phone right by the commode.
Love the toilet phone. I love the phone in the bathroom. It's fantastic.
I realized just how pathetic I am.
It's sad.
That at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm in the biggest, greatest city in the world.
Right.
I'm sitting on the crapper I'm pinching a load, watching Regis Philbin, and I'm talking to Rob Spiewak about it on the telephone at the same time.
See, you can take the Regis and Kathy Lee thing out of the equation. That's very gay in and of itself, just talking to Rob while you're on the throne.
Well, I didn't mention it to him.
Were you actually, when you were talking to Rob, were you in the middle of doing it?
I was just finishing up.
Oh,
I was just
God.
In the paperwork.
There was no evidence of it. You covered it very well.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to mention to you, hey, Rob, guess who I am right now?
Rob, guess what I'm doing? Guess what I'm doing right now, Rob.
And then as soon as I got cleaned up, I went outside, you know, went for this little run, saw Jenna Elfman, then came back and watched American Beauty.
Well, the celebrity sightings are not over, because when Rob and I went to the Carnegie Deli, where they filmed that movie, Broadway Danny Rose, and we walked in there, and we had our, I guess that would officially be our last celebrity sighting today,
yeah.
where I walk in, and I spotted him first, so I get the celebrity sighting award on this one. And sitting at the table is the one and only Jackie Mason.
Oh, Jesus.
Jackie Mason. And, you know, you can't think of anybody that belongs in a deli more than Jackie Mason. And I sit down, and we walk by him, and I say, Rob, Jackie Mason. Well, Rob, you know, I figure, oh, yeah. Rob gets incredibly excited.
Yeah,
and
he's a boner.
And, of course, here's the deal. Rob has seen his show live.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course he has.
Rob has seen his show live. So we finished our lunch, and we're walking out of the deli, and Rob says, I'm going to go say hi to him. So at that moment, I flee, because I don't have my courage this time. So
right,
you're
not drunk like when you talked to Jack Wagner last night.
No, if I was in the condition I was last night, I would have gone, Jackie Mason! you're a golfer. All right. So it turns out, I turn around and I sort of run down the street towards the magazine rack, and I'm looking back over my shoulder at Rob, and Rob is, it's not like I just want to shake your hand. Rob's having a conversation with the guy, and I look over at Jackie Mason, and Jackie Mason is beaming. Rob is saying something to him, giving him some kind of compliment.
Well, he's not really famous anymore. Maybe he doesn't get recognized.
It was just like, you know, I'm seeing Rob. Rob's using his hands and his head shaking around, and I see Jackie Mason going, that's great. But we both noticed one thing, man. When we're walking, I said to Rob, as we're walking out, we're following Jackie Mason out, and I said, all right, walk with him. Let's just walk in back of him. And we got, I would say, that is the most incredible painted bald spot I've ever seen.
Really?
He had an area about the size of the top of a football that was covered with black paint.
And not only that, but it was like to such a point where it was almost flaking.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it was he'd seen a lot of day already.
It was really painted on.
Painted bald spot.
You know, it's like that GLH, that Paul Popiel stuff that he put on his
head. Hair.
And Rob, apparently, what did you say to him? What's the whole spiel? Because you told me it was funny.
I went up and I said, Mr. Mason, I just want to tell you that I saw you at the Kennedy Center in 1980. And I laughed so hard I hurt. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. You're fantastic.
Celebrity.
And he smiled really big. That's very nice of you. Stop that ant.
Rob Spiewak, celebrity ass kisser. And he loved it. I mean, the only thing I remember is looking at Jackie Mason, who's just like, Yeah, wide-eyed, almost. I thought they were going to kiss.
Well, it must be, because no one ever approached. I wouldn't approach Jackie Mason on the street.
Oh, absolutely not. No,
Jesus.
But he certainly has. He's got very good color.
Yeah, he's
very, very good. I mean, really, it looks like.
It's like a cheesecake.
Was he very cadaverish?
Cadaver-like, you would, you know. But looking pretty good. Looking hearty.
Looking fit.
Looking very, very fit.
All right.
And then Rob embraced him, and they tongue kissed.
You know, I know we have to do a break. Just remind me when we come back. I want to talk about Ted Nugent, the very smart Ted Nugent.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to talk about Jennifer Lopez, and I want to talk about little Elian Gonzalez.
Has he left yet?
Well, no, he hasn't left, and I saw the most ridiculous thing right as I was leaving the hotel to come to work today. I was watching the coverage on MSNBC. Hey, Charlie, I can definitely hear you talk the whole time.
I'll definitely speak softer.
Thank you very much.
We're doing... I have to do... We're doing a radio show. We're doing a radio show right now.
Help with that, too. Thank you.
Everybody's a prick.
I want to participate.
Everybody's a prick. So as I'm watching this unfold with this deadline, the 2 o'clock deadline.
Right.
I see the funniest thing, where they announced that Gloria Estefan is going to be addressing the crowd.
Oh, my God.
Like, what the hell's Gloria Estefan got to do with
it? You know, not that it wasn't a circus to begin with. Let's make it more circus-like.
So at 2 o'clock, when the U.S. Marshals are supposed to be coming in to take the little boy,
right?
Gloria Estefan gets up on the podium, and the mayor of Miami is standing there by her. all of these government officials, all these Secret Service types, and she gets up and she goes, "Hello, people of Miami."
Man.
And that's what I had to leave to come to work. But I still don't know what the hell Gloria Estefan was doing standing up.
Or the Secret Service being escorted by Tito Puente?
I don't know. Okay. It's like, for whatever reason, they must have thought, you know, we might have a crisis, we might have a riot.
That's probably why they wanted her.
Get Gloria Estefan down here right now.
Well, she's Cuban, right? So, I mean, those are her origins. She's
right.
Cuban, and I think she is probably being brought in to make the transition. Because, I mean, the bottom line, the kid's going back, right? The kid's going back to Cuba?
Yeah, well, that's what Reno says.
And that, you know, and people are going to go squirrely down there, so they bring in Gloria Estefan.
Janet Reno and the Miami Sound Machine. Yeah. She's what a man Janet Reno is. I've got to see her penis someday.
This is Janet Reno.
I really, I don't often think about other men's penises, but I've got to think that Janet Reno's is gigantic.
Everybody do the conga. Can you, come on, baby, can you conga? Thank you, little Elion.
Buzz, do you have an update on that?
Just that she says that the government will take reasonable action to try to get Elion back to Cuba, but no violent action, no dramatic action by the government.
Do you know why Gloria Estefan was there?
No, I don't, other than to try to defuse the situation.
Okay, thank you, Buzz. Thank you. Thank you very much, Newsman Buzz.
Right.
Thank you.
Gentlemen.
You know, it's a weird dynamic. I think we mentioned this yesterday because Buzz is actually sitting in the room with us now.
Updates on the ones.
And I'm choosing, Buzz, I'm going to give you this look. I'm going to look at you slyly.
Okay.
Out of the corner of my eye for the entire show.
Very
just
good.
Like this. My eyes are on you, Burbank.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if you knew this at the end of yesterday's show. Mm-hmm. Mike was mimicking all of your body movements, and you didn't know that that's what he was. He's doing
saw,
it again.
I
right
saw
now.
A little bit of that.
He's
yeah.
doing it again
like
right
gesture.
Now. Okay, hit the touchstones, Jimmy. Let's get a caller 100. Clear those lines. Caller 100, a prize package we've selected especially for you.
Where's my spray paint?
And a shot at the rent and the mortgage. Be the 100th person to call Toya right now. She's standing by at 1-877-365-3636.
Broadcasting live from New York, New York, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, hit the touchstone, Jimmy. It's time for caller 100. Let's just take this call live right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
I am caller number 100.
Right. What's your name, my friend?
My name is Mike.
Mike, where are you calling from?
Call from Baltimore.
Mike, call 100. You've won a Fresh Samantha prize pack.
Fresh Samantha?
Enjoy Fresh Samantha juices today.
Wow.
These wouldn't be these wouldn't be body fluids from Samantha Fox, would they?
Oh, yes, yeah, Samantha, the great talented Samantha Fox.
Available at delis and grocery stores everywhere. But wait, there's more. You've qualified for tomorrow's weekly giveaway of a portable DVD player from DVDExpress.com. And you qualified for the rent and mortgage show 2 weeks from tomorrow when we pay rent and mortgages. How much do you pay every month?
$1,930.
You're an evil man. You're an evil man. How much was that rent and mortgage? I'm sorry, I was distracted by our gag writer. How much is that?
It was $1,930.
$1,930. That's a nice big one.
That's a fat one.
Love to make that happen. Big Free Money Show is 2 weeks from tomorrow. Thank you for listening, my friend.
Thank you.
On JFK.
Enjoy Jr. your Miss Samantha juice.
JFK Jr. in Baltimore. Miss Samantha, wasn't it Samantha on Bewitched?
Right. Yeah. Yes, and that's the only one I can think of. I can't think of it. So you have to be king of the Samanthas.
King of the Sam.
There's no, I mean, other than Samantha Fox. And I mean, does there need to be anybody else? I can't think of any other Samanthas.
Didn't we have her on our show one time with her gigantic big British fake boobs?
Yeah, and she was kind of bitchy, yeah. If I remember correctly.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Samantha Fox.
Yes, I was topless. Now bugger off.
Hello.
Well, listen, I want to talk about Ted Nugent. I want to salute Ted Nugent.
What did he do?
Well, I'm reading here in the newspaper. Imagine this. Here's the story. I just read it to you. Veteran rocker Ted Nugent upset a Houston crowd during a concert last week by saying Latinos who don't speak English should leave the country.
Wow.
Where have I heard that before?
Wow.
And, of course, get ready, Ted Nugent. They are not going to invite him back unless he pledges not to repeat his behavior.
Right.
And the League of United Latin American Citizens will now organize a Ted Nugent boycott.
Well, I mean, he did it, and he'll reap the rewards of that comment. He's a big, he's very politically active, isn't he?
Yes.
I mean, he's
a big hunter and fisher, and one of those idiots like my brother likes going out and hunting with a bow.
He's a big NRA guy.
Yeah, as am I.
Imagine that. I guess he vacations with Charlton Heston.
Well, I line up with him on that issue.
Oh, God.
Well, you know I do.
I know. Yes,
you know I do.
I'm aware of that.
You read the stories in the newspaper.
I am totally aware of that.
Right. It was just like deja vu today when I read that story.
I'm starting to break into a sweat now. Stop it.
Just like deja vu.
Right.
Oh, and the other thing that I wanted to tell you about was last night, I guess before we went out for dinner, when I went back to the room,
right.
Since I'm never without the TV,
yes.
I had it on, I was watching MTV, and I was watching a special about Jennifer Lopez.
Oh.
And it was one of those things where they were behind the scenes in a movie she was making, and they showed her sitting in the chair getting made up, and she was talking on the phone to Puff Daddy.
Okay.
And she was having some kind of an argument with him.
Really?
And she had her hair all pulled back, and she was very... The word again is puffy looking. Not
she didn't look good.
No, not like Sean Puffy Combs, like Jenna Elfman looks. She just looked real puffy.
Right.
It wasn't a very flattering shot of her. And as the woman is blow drying her hair and they're applying the makeup, she's on the phone going, No, I don't believe that. Where are you going to be tonight? I don't believe that. Now, call me later. All right, I can't talk about this. And she takes the phone and throws it. She just throws the phone
behind
her.
Was it a cell phone?
Yeah, it was a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, 5 minutes later in the show, they show the next day when she shows up to work, and Puffy has sent her 24 roses, and she opens up a card. And she proudly looks at the camera and she says, "Oh, look at this. Every day I love you more, Puffy." She goes, "Oh, he's my man." And I'm looking at the TV going, "You are the dumbest bitch."
Yeah, he was, you know, he's probably out the night before with like 15 women.
You are just the dumbest bitch ever.
My God.
That all he has to do is send you a couple of dozen roses and a note.
Well, at least you know,
and everything's okay.
At least when she threw the cell phone, she didn't throw her gun. Because, you know, if you throw a gun, it can go off. You have to be very careful about that.
I don't know what the purpose of the show was, but it was like 30 minutes with Jennifer Lopez.
Was she just wearing that scarf dress, too?
No, she had a t-shirt on. And the other thing about Jennifer Lopez, I've noticed that this in some of her movies, and every time I've seen her interviewed, she's a gigantic gumshoer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was there, even in the t-shirt, was there any cleavage? Could you see any,
no.
Was there any breast evidence? She
no.
does not have big breasts.
No, she's rather flat-chested.
I mean, even that famous outfit she wore, you really didn't, she doesn't appear to have very large breasts.
I think a girl with big knockers could not have worn that dress.
Well, I mean, with the right amount of tape.
Yeah, but
you know,
she's maintained all along that she didn't ever use the tape, that she didn't use that two-way tape.
Now I'm going off on a fantasy, and I'm wondering, you know, what woman I'd like to see in that same outfit.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, Tyne Daly.
Oh, Joy
man.
Behar.
Oh.
Doris Roberts.
Oh, you know me so horny.
Rob?
Yeah?
You know, we mentioned Joy Behar, that there are a lot of women on the street of New York who look like her, and you mentioned a lot of women look like Doris Roberts.
Yes, a lot of them.
We sent Rob Spiewak out on the street today. Our show's now aired here in New York for about a month.
Right.
And frankly, we're convinced that nobody listens. So what we did was we sent Rob out with a tape recorder to ask 50 people on the street, who are Don and Mike?
We're getting ready for our big confidence booster.
I'm going to make a bet right now.
Yeah, now. Do you have any...
No, I have no idea.
Did you pick his brain on that?
I did not.
You guys didn't get together before this.
Swear to God.
So we have to have a little wager here, like a little, you know, gentleman's bet.
Yes, or I'll bet money if you want.
All right, well, what are you guessing out of this?
I'm going to guess...
Are you going to say
zero?
No? Zero?
Zero.
I'm going to say two out of the... You talked to 50 people, right, Rob?
I think actually 51.
51 people.
I'm going to say two people out of the 50.
Buzz, do you want in on this?
I'll say five people.
Oh, always the optimist.
Sure. Very optimistic, Buzz. Brown.
We had Rob ask them two questions. First, who are Don and Mike?
Mm-hmm.
And second, is Ricky Martin gay?
Yes, which is still, in our mind, the question, the hot news question of the day.
All right, so let's roll that tape. Where's that come up on the board here?
On the DVD, that, right?
Right here?
That, gotcha.
Okay, play the tape. Here we go.
Here we go.
Who are Don and Mike?
Hold on, it's just in one channel. How do I mono this thing out?
All right, we're gonna get this all straightened out for you.
Stereo, left.
Okay, last question. Yeah. Do you think Ricky Martin...
All right, back it up. Okay, it's perfect now.
Excellent.
Perfect. Now we're going to be able to hear what the good people of New York think.
And soon to be a regular feature on the show, ladies and gentlemen, this is Rob Spiewak, Man on the Street.
Okay, here we go.
Roll it.
Give me 1 second. Who are Don and Mike?
There we go.
I have no idea.
No. Hey, last question. Do you think Ricky Martin is gay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
One down.
Can you tell me who are Don and Mike?
Oh, yeah, the radio guys.
Well, do you listen?
Oh. Yes, I do.
Wow. Hey,
very cool. What's
wait
your opinion of Donovan?
Hold on. The second guy knows who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that. That bodes very well for us here in New York City.
I still think that we're going to have an awful percentage here.
I'm halfway there. Here we go.
All right, roll it, Robbie. Roll it. Jesus.
Okay.
Martin is gay.
I think he's got the potential going that way, yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for listening.
I'm amazed.
For who? Taped for broadcast. This is for the radio, CBS Radio. Who are Don and Mike?
Don and Mike, never heard of them.
Never?
Right.
No, I did some clowns on morning radio a lot.
Well, right business, wrong time of day. Here's a question for you. Do you think Ricky Martin is gay?
Sure.
Yeah, do you have any proof to support your theory?
I was with him last night. No, I don't.
Oh, man.
Have a good day.
Oh, man.
Where are you from?
From Germany.
Germany, excellent. I just went to Germany last Christmas. Do you know who Don and Mike are?
I'm standing not the question.
Do you know who Ricky Martin is?
Did you tell him we were Nazi sympathizers?
Oh, God. Yes, Ricky Martin the singer?
Yes.
Do you think Ricky Martin is gay?
I don't know.
Is this a German woman too?
Or?
Yeah.
Hey.
A what?
Do you know who Don and Mike are?
No, I don't understand.
Okay. Where are you from in Germany?
I'm Frankfurt.
Frankfurt?
Yeah. Jawohl.
Have a nice trip back. Welcome stateside.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, stop it for a second.
Okay, that's three people that don't know who we are.
I don't think that you can count her.
Okay.
She nullifies this part of the sample because she's not from this country.
Well, I'm favoring you by counting her as a no. So.
I know.
So I mean,
I just want to be fair.
If that's your ruling, I think that's a very fair ruling.
And if she happens to be listening today, I'd like to say to her, Essen Scheiß.
Essen Mein Scheiß. But of the 50, if it was a couple, I only counted it as one of the 50. So I mean, of the two, that's really
being from a foreign country.
Yeah, they didn't
it
even
doesn't
speak
count.
The language.
So right now, it's a one yes. Yes and two no ideas.
Okay.
All right, roll it, Robbie.
Roll that tape.
There we go.
So where are you from?
Romania.
Romania. Oh. Welcome stateside. It's nice to have you here. Do you know who Don and Mike are?
Who?
Don and Mike.
I don't know who is that.
Okay. Do you know who Ricky Martin is?
Ricky Martin, Puerto Rico.
Right. Do you think he's gay?
Looks like.
And you, ma'am, do you think Ricky Martin is gay?
I don't know.
Do you know who Don and Mike are?
No.
When are you going back to Romania?
In vacation.
Oh, on vacation?
Well, should I count them as one? Once again, the foreigners.
Stop the tapes.
This is extremely difficult to score. I'm telling you that right now.
I think that this survey should just be done of right-thinking American citizens.
Okay, but I'm saying right
here. That Romanian does live here. He's a New York resident.
Well, you got to make the
call. Not in my world he wouldn't be.
Okay, then it's still one out of three.
But we're still, we have a better percentage.
You have a fighting chance.
Okay, roll it.
That is beautiful in Romania. Well,
welcome stateside. It's lovely to have you.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day. Hi there, what's your name?
My name is Celso.
You're the head bellman here at this hotel, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm the head door person.
I say it. The hat gives you an air of respect, so I thought you might be the head guy. Can you tell me, who are Don and Mike?
Who are Don and Mike? I have no idea whatsoever.
Right.
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay, do you know who Ricky Martin is?
Yes, I do.
Do you think he's gay?
I have no idea whatsoever on that issue either.
But thank you.
No problem.
You have a lovely hotel.
Thank you very much.
We have to count that guy.
Yeah, we're one for four.
Pardon me, can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
I'm sorry, I really can't.
It's all right.
Thank you, Joy Behar.
I certainly do.
Do you think he's gay?
I don't even think that's a question that I should be answering. Whether he is or he isn't, it's absolutely of no interest to me. He's a terrific performer. That's all I'm interested in.
Jesus. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
He doesn't ask about my sex life. I'm not interested in his.
Thank you for your time.
Do you think she was lesbo?
I could be.
Well, yeah. Rob didn't mention that during the interview, right after she said that, she hit him in the face as hard as she could.
Right. Can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
Radio people.
Oh. Have you listened?
I should listen.
Okay.
I have my number.
We broadcast from that building right there. I'm sure you could pick up the station, WNEW.
So that's two people.
So do you think Ricky Martin is gay?
Possibly.
But isn't he a marvelous performer?
He's terrific.
I'll tell you right now.
Any other thing you'd like to say on the radio?
What? I'd like to tell you right now that I'm listening to this, and every person so far, the two people that know us, have also confirmed that Ricky Martin is gay.
That's true.
Thank you.
All right, seems to be a pattern for
so
me.
So we are two for five now.
All right, you know, this microphone doesn't bite. You don't have to keep backing away. Have a good day. Thank you for your time.
All right, here's the next person.
Can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
No.
No.
Are you from around New York?
Nope.
Where are you from?
Ohio.
That would explain it.
Take her out of the sample.
Good move. Yeah. That's right.
Take her out of the sample.
Okay. We have to be fair.
I don't like him. I don't know.
Well, that wasn't really the question.
I don't care about his sexuality.
I see. It's of no concern to you.
No, I do not think he's gay.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day. Welcome to New York.
Was she pretty?
Not really.
Not really.
Of course, she's from Ohio.
Can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
Don't know who they are.
Not at all?
No.
Do you think Ricky Martin is gay?
Possibly. I don't know.
No strong feeling one way or the other?
No. I don't think it matters.
Well, it doesn't matter. But if we hear anything, we'll keep you posted.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a good day.
See, I don't know. Let me write that on the blackboard.
2%.
What's that?
Broadcast for what?
CBS Radio.
Ah, okay. What's the question?
Can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
No, I can't.
Not at all? No. You don't know or you choose not to tell me?
I don't know. Don and Mike or Dot and Mike?
Don and Mike.
Don't know Don and Mike.
Do you know who Ricky Martin is, right?
Yes.
Do you think he's gay?
I don't care. I have no idea.
No opinion?
No opinion.
Stop. Thank you for your time. Sorry to keep you.
I cannot believe. First of all, I can believe that most people don't know who we are.
Right.
But I can't believe that people are afraid to go on the record about Ricky Martin.
I think they just don't care. They
don't care. I think they care a lot.
It's of no consequence to me what his sexuality is.
I think they all care.
They care.
I don't know why they won't say it.
They care desperately.
Say it.
Say it.
Say it. You know it. Say it.
Gay and proud.
Say it. He loves the meat.
Roll it, Robbie. Let's get back to it.
Can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
No, I can't.
Can't tell me because you won't tell me or you just don't know?
I just don't know. I feel terrible. Who are they?
Okay. There was a radio show. Who I work for.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I don't know them.
I've never seen someone so happy with the fact that they don't know who Don and Mike are. You started laughing immediately.
I feel terrible.
You think you feel terrible, honey.
Right.
Smiley thing I have. I do feel terrible.
When you feel terrible, are you always this happy? You must be a gag. Oh. You must be a laugh riot at a funeral.
Where is a mugger when you need one?
I do laugh with bad news, actually.
Do you really?
Yeah, it's a bad habit.
Well, I've got good news for you. You can listen to Don and Mike tonight on WNEW starting at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And you'll probably hear yourself, and then you can laugh again.
That's cool. Rob. I'm so sorry. I don't know who Don and Mike is.
Does this mean like if someone tells you a joke, you cry? Are you okay?
You gotta make me stop laughing.
Okay, well, I'll play it straight. What's your name?
Michelle.
Michelle, are you a native New Yorker?
Yeah. No, actually.
No. Where are you from?
Brooklyn.
Well, that's a New Yorker. State of New York.
Oh, okay.
And a New York state of mind. And also, are you familiar with Ricky Martin?
Yeah.
Do you think he's gay?
No.
Really?
Mm. Really?
Do you have any evidence to support this?
His ass. Oh, well, then again, that's not a good one, is it?
Now you're making me laugh.
His ass.
He's that good, Ricky. His ass. That's not a good thing.
Now, will you promise me you'll listen to the show tonight?
I promise you.
You'll think it's so funny, you'll be in tears.
Office. I work at Dr. Lomberg's dentist office. He does cosmetic surgery. And I'm going to put the radio on at 7 o'clock for the whole office to hear. They're going to die.
Great. Do you laugh when you see people in pain?
No, I don't. I really...
You ever see anything like the movie Marathon Man in that office?
No.
Now, who's your... What's the doctor that you work for? We can give him a free plug. He's probably marvelous.
His name is Dr. Lomberg, Mark Lomberg. He's on 230 Central Park South.
Come on, Robbie.
And he's one of... He is the best cosmetic dentist.
Fantastic. Well, I hope that all our toothless listeners, well, if they're toothless, they really, they're beyond help.
He has a partner. That's Dr. Latucci. I love Dr. Latucci,
oh,
too.
Oh, please.
Get him.
Please, stop this.
Well, thank you very much, Michelle. You're probably the friendliest New Yorker I've met yet, and you love to laugh, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I hope I haven't made you late for work.
No, I'm going to Staples.
Jesus. Was she good?
God.
What a mess.
She was
won't make you late, I promise. Tape for broadcast for CBS Radio. Tell me, sir, can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
The two disc jockeys, two talk show funny guys.
Yeah, have you ever heard their show? You listen to their show?
Sure.
Oh, fantastic. Well, then I'll tell you where Wins is. It is, you see the building where the Red Eye Grill is? 10th right. floor of that building. You can get in right through there.
Terrific.
And also, do
hold
you know
where
the
yeah,
you, you, you were thinking about it. We might have to take that off the board.
Yeah, now, if he asked where 1010 Wins is, that is the sister station to WNEW.
Is he a radio guy, Rob?
Don't know. Don't think so, because he didn't know where he was going.
All right, well, technically, wait a minute. When you approached him, you had no idea whether he was coming into our building or just out on the street.
Perfect man on the street. Just random.
You got to count it.
Then we can, but you know, I'd also like to say,
we're getting close to Buzz's number. That is three out of eight.
I'd also like to say that most of these people on the street must just be as dumb as a box of rocks. If a guy with a microphone says, "Hi, I'm from CBS Radio.
Yes.
Yeah. Who are Don and Mike?" And they still don't noodle it through that we're DJs.
Yeah, well, people are amazingly dumb.
And busy. You know, I probably was turned down seven times for every one person that would agree to go.
Oh, really? You poor man.
I love Rob on the street.
All right, let's roll some more of this. I know we have to do a break, but I want to hear some more of this.
I don't know. Maybe androgynous.
Good point. Hadn't thought that yet. Have a good day, sir.
He actually sounded like a radio
broadcaster.
Pardon
me, ma'am. Can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
Who?
Don and Mike.
I couldn't tell you. I'm 92 years old.
You are kidding me. You're lovely. A lovely 92. I would never have guessed it.
92 and a half.
And you still keep track of the halves?
Of course you do. You keep track of the days.
The minutes.
I'm doing everything.
I understand. Do you know who Ricky Martin is? He's a singer. He's a Puerto Rican singer.
Oh, I have to know. Then probably I know a lot of singers and musicians.
Who is your favorite singer?
My singer. I can think about. From the opera song.
Pavarotti?
And Pavarotti and the other one.
Hey, was this lady hot, Rob?
Here you are.
Great piece of that. You could get her.
Domingo.
May I have the honor of escorting you across the street?
Oh, friggin' Boy Scout.
Did you help her across the street?
She said no. She didn't. Gentlemen, can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
I have no idea.
Don and Mike? No.
Nope.
Well, you got the name right. All right. So no idea. It's a radio show. We're on WNEW. Also, you know who Ricky Martin is, right?
Yeah.
Do you think he's gay?
I have no idea.
You, sir?
You mean dead artistically or physically?
Interpret it as you wish.
No, not that I heard of.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Were they wearing the Sprockets outfit?
Yes.
You mean artistically?
Excuse me, sir. Can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
No.
Don't know. Do you know who Ricky Martin is?
I heard your name.
Do you think he's gay?
He might be.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
What planet was that guy from?
Excuse me, can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
No, I can't.
You won't? You choose not to tell me or you don't know?
No.
Okay, do you know who Ricky Martin is? Okay, singer, right. Do you think he's gay?
I don't know.
Do you know, sir?
No, sir.
Okay, well, thank you for your time. Have a good day.
She sounded lovely.
Another old person.
CBS Radio, sir. 1027 WNEW. Can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
No, I don't know.
Never heard of them?
No.
No, stop the tape for a second.
How, are you seeking out every foreigner that you could find?
You're finding people who are either near dead or of foreign extraction.
I tried to give you a representative sampling of what I said.
When you go on the street, I want you to give me Aryans. I want,
oh, God.
I want white skin, blonde hair, and blue eyes.
You are cracking.
That's what I
really
want.
Buena suerte on that one.
And I want all of them to say, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. May I have another, sir?
He wants all Niedermeyers.
You know, all of them.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
You know,
what makes you
think
that?
You are skewing.
I'm Puerto Rican, too.
Oh, turn him off for a minute. I think you're skewing the sample with the ages of these people. Not a chance that these people, even if they knew who we were, would listen to this show.
I was looking, actually, for, you know, the average listener, like a 30-year-old male. you know, you had to get what you could get when you're on the street.
I dug the 92-year-old lady.
And, you know,
I'll wait for her to be on the Smucker's jar with Willis Scott. We don't need her on this show, for goodness sake.
I'll be honest. I was just trying to pick her up.
I know you were.
All right.
You dirty dog.
Can I help you across the street?
Right. She knew better, though.
Oh, yeah.
Are we almost halfway through with this?
Almost.
Almost. All right, do a couple more, then we'll take a break. Okay, roll it.
Well, that wouldn't make him gay. Do you have any gay people in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't think it's gay. I don't think so.
Okay, well, thank you for your time. 1 second. Hi, can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
I'm not from here. I wouldn't know.
Where are you from?
Doesn't count.
Oh, okay. Well, they're on in Ventura, too. They're radio personalities.
Ventura, California?
Yeah.
Oh.
And one last question. Can you tell me, do you think Ricky Martin is gay?
I have no idea.
All right, thank you.
Oh, yes, you do.
Surprised you didn't get it. It's of no consequence to me.
Can you tell me, do you know who Don and Mike are?
No, I don't.
Not at all? Not a clue?
No.
Okay. Do you know who Ricky Martin is?
Yes.
Do you think he's gay?
I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, come on, turn the tape off, please. Just turn it off for a second. I'm not upset that people don't know who we are. That's what I thought. But I am so pissed that people will not give a gut feeling about Ricky Martin.
We are 3 out of 12 so far.
It's
about, yeah, Buzz, you got about 3 out of 12, you know, because we've had to drop a few people.
3 is what I've got.
Yeah, 3 right, people so far.
So if we're playing, you know, baseball, what is that? What are we batting, 400 or
we're
something like
well.
That?
We're doing well. We're doing very well. I'm very happy about the results so far.
All right, 3 out of 12. And Rob, you have how many more? To go through?
29.
I like our I like Buzz's chances now.
29 yeah. more. Okay, we'll get back to this. Oh, and then, Rob, we're going to send you out on the street
cool.
to find us some contestants via the cell phone for the Nude Family Feud.
I hope you find that lady again.
Maybe she's making her way back here.
I'll give you a bet that she's in the ground right now. I think her time was just about up. Boys, a break. We'll be right back.
This live from New York City, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Yes, the right-thinking Marge shot right there. Back to, let's finish this tape up. Get back to the tape, Robbie. We have 29 more people to hear.
And I tell you, I love Rob Spiewak, man on the street. I truly do.
Roll it, Robbie.
Tell me who Don and Mike are.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
I have no idea who Don and Mike are.
Another no.
Not even a guess.
Do you?
No, I don't know either.
That's another
New
one.
York? You live here?
Yeah.
Oh, well, where are you from?
I'm from Hamtramck.
Where's that?
Where's that?
Hamtramck.
Wait, what is that? Where is that?
Michigan.
Oh.
Did you qualify?
No, from Vermont.
I got to take a boat off.
I worked here yesterday.
I see. And another question. You've heard of Ricky Martin, yes?
Yeah.
Do you think he's gay?
I have no idea.
Ma'am?
I don't know either.
That pisses me off. You know he's gay.
Listen to WNEW when you're in New York. Thank you. A second. Can you tell me who are Don and Mike?
What'd she say?
I don't know.
Not a clue? Want to guess?
Well, Don Imus and
no, but
right.
Close, I think.
That's right.
Can you
thank you, Rob.
Who Ricky Martin is, right?
Yeah.
Singer, do you think he's gay?
I have no idea.
All right, well, thank you. Have a good day.
That's pissing me off more.
I know, it's making you angry.
People not knowing who we are.
Can
it
you
really
tell me
is.
Who are Don and Mike?
Who are Don and Mike?
Yeah.
There we go.
Couldn't even begin to tell you.
Thank you.
Because you choose not to or because you don't know?
Because I don't know.
Okay. Do you know who Ricky Martin is?
Yeah, I know who Ricky Martin is.
Do you think he's gay?
Do I think he's gay? It seems that he has some gay tendencies, but do I think he's gay? I don't know him, so I can't really answer that question.
Yes, you can.
Skillfully handled. I thank you and have a good day.
Same to you.
And Rob, you should instruct those people not to answer a question with a question.
That's true.
Can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
No idea.
No idea at all? Don't even want to guess?
Never heard of them. I have no understanding.
Ouch.
Well, you're in for a treat if you ever hear their radio show. Also, do you know who Ricky Martin is?
Know who Ricky Martin is, yeah.
Do you think he's gay?
My kids don't think so.
But you, sir?
I really don't have an opinion one way or another.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You're getting mad at that.
This
you're getting
pissing me off.
You're getting angrier and angrier.
I have an opinion.
Do you know who Don and Mike are?
I do not know who Don and Mike are.
All right, there's 15.
Do you know who Ricky Martin is?
Sure do.
Do you think he's gay?
I really don't have an opinion.
I don't know if he's gay or not.
I really don't have an opinion.
Official, I don't know.
I don't know, and I'm not interested.
Yes, you are.
Well, I'm sorry to detain you. Have a good day. Sir, do you know who Don and Mike are?
No.
Do you think Ricky Martin is gay?
Don't know.
Thank you.
Oh, F you. Just make a film.
Who Don and Mike are?
Oh, yeah, I buy stuff from them all the time. No,
What do you buy?
That's a yes.
We buy radio advertising.
Oh, I see. Very good.
Can you tell me, do you know who Ricky Martin is?
Stop the tape.
Is this guy too much of an idiot to properly answer the question? Does he know the show?
I think he did.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Replay it, because it sounded to me like he might have been a media buyer.
I buy from them.
Yeah, but he said, I buy advertising from them.
Yeah, so that would mean he knows who we are. Mm-hmm. It counts.
Yes.
It's totally at random.
It counts.
He could be talking about...
Can you tell
about...
me who Don and Mike are?
Oh, yeah. I buy stuff from them all the time.
He doesn't know who we are.
What do you buy?
We buy radio advertising.
Oh, I see. Very good. Yeah. Can you tell me, do you know who Ricky Martin
right.
is?
Counted as a
that
game.
Is number four.
Do you think he's gay?
Could be.
Do you want to elaborate on that? Do you have any thoughts?
I hear through the grapevine that he is.
Which grapevine is this?
Penis grapevine.
Ian Damon, right. Julie Asner.
Steve Kometko.
Right.
Can you tell me why E has an exclamation point after it?
Because it's E.
Well put.
Right, you're good at reason.
Can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
That's a joke, or...
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
That's a joke?
Yes, it's turning into an awful
My job
joke.
Job is asking you if you know who Don and Mike are.
Who Don? No, I wish you right off. I will tell you.
Okay, do you know who Ricky Martin is?
Sure, I know.
Do you think he's gay?
Whoa, there's some lung butter there.
What did I do you are?
What?
I'm just looking at this.
Well, I'm just curious your opinion.
Yeah, come on.
All right, where are you from?
I'm French.
You're French? I was in Paris last...
F the French. No wonder he doesn't speak the language, but he speaks enough to give you an attitude.
F the French. I bet he smelled, right?
I think your life is what I would have.
Okay, all right.
Public.
Roll it.
Very good.
I love the fries.
I'm French from Brooklyn, you know?
French from Brooklyn. Well, welcome stateside. We're glad to have you.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. And by the way, you're welcome. Because we saved your people in World War II.
That doesn't make me happy.
Hi, can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
I have no idea.
You care to venture a guess?
No, I really don't know.
Okay. Can you also tell me, do you know who Ricky Martin is?
Yes.
Do you think he's gay?
I have my doubts.
Your doubts on whether he's gay or...
Whether he's straight.
Oh, I see. But do you have one way that you hope that the equation would fall out?
No, not really.
No concern at all?
Of course not.
I mean, he's pretty much in his own little world, so I guess most of the people up there usually go that way. So,
yeah. So most famous...
It's an anal world.
That's a yes. I think so.
Okay. And one last question. Do you think the French are ungrateful since America pretty much saved their ass in World War II?
Kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Message good for the French as a people?
Yes.
No, not really.
Well, have a good day. Bye-bye. Don't be sorry. You're not dumb. I just heard you talk. This is a question tape for CBS Radio. Can you tell me, do you know who Don and Mike are?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Did you venture a guess for me?
Never. Never.
Do you know who Ricky Martin is?
No.
You don't know who Ricky Martin is?
Duh. No.
This has been a gripping interview. Do you have a message you'd like to send out to anybody?
No.
No.
Say hi to Don and Mike for me?
No.
And this head doorkeeper guy, he recommended me speaking to you, so I want to send thanks to him. Can you thank him for me?
I can't speak. I'm dumb.
I'm getting that impression. Have a good day, sir.
Hold on.
Did he say, I can't speak, I am dumb?
Yes.
We really want to hear that again.
No.
No, no, just the part where he says, I can't speak, I am dumb.
I am dumb.
I can't speak, I am dumb.
Can you say hi to Don and Mike for me?
No.
And this head doorkeeper guy, he recommended me speaking to you, so I want to send thanks to him. Can you thank him for me?
I can't speak. I am dumb.
I can't speak. I am dumb. He doesn't say I am dumb. Play it one more time. He says, can't speak.
I'm dumb.
I'm dumb. Can't speak. Am dumb.
You know who Ricky Martin is?
No.
This has been a gripping interview. Do you have a message you'd like to send out to anybody?
No. Never. No.
Could you just say hi to Don and Mike for me?
No.
No.
And this head doorkeeper guy, he recommended me speaking to you, so I want to send thanks to him. Can you thank him for me?
I can't speak. I am dumb.
I'm getting that impression. Have a good day, sir.
I am dumb.
Okay, take that tape back home with us.
Do you know who Don and Mike are?
No.
Want to care to guess?
No.
Do you know who Ricky Martin is?
Yeah.
Do you think he's gay?
No.
Oh, come on. You know he is.
Well, thank you for your time.
Gay all the way. All the way gay.
All right, can you tell me, do you know who Don and Mike are? Care to venture a guess?
No, I don't know who it is.
Okay. Do you know who Ricky Martin is?
Yes, I know.
Do you think he's gay?
I think, man.
Jesus.
I never saw with a girlfriend.
Right.
I don't know if it is bisexual, but it's his life anyway, so I respect, but I love him.
You love him a lot? Have you ever seen him in concert?
No, never. No.
Someday, perhaps.
Yeah?
Does woman have a rag on her head
to him?
No.
That's Tony,
to him?
Tony Soprano's girlfriend.
Yeah, I really do.
So you'd be disappointed if it turned out he was gay?
Yeah, because he's too cute. To be
he's too cute.
Think you could cure him of that?
He doesn't care, really. He doesn't care.
He's too cute.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, bye.
He's too cute.
Tell me, sir, do you know who Don and Mike are?
No, I don't know.
Care to venture a guess?
I'm going to guess that perhaps personalities on your station, but I am not familiar.
Excellent detective.
See, this guy was bright enough to figure out the rules.
N-E-W.
Doesn't count.
From 7 to 11 at night.
Can't speak.
I know the format.
M-Dom.
So I know things are changing there.
Yes, the times they are changing. Well, we would like to count you among our new listeners, so please tune in. And my last question for you is, do you think Ricky Martin is gay?
I think it's a distinct possibility.
Uh-huh. Can you give me a percentage on it?
In my own mind, 80-20.
80 in favor. Thank you, sir.
80-20 is gay.
That's all right. This isn't, you don't have to read much news to know this. Can you tell me, do you know who Don and Mike are?
Don and Mike? M-I-K-E?
Yes.
Never heard of them.
Ever have?
No. D-O-E-N, then that's one person.
It's right.
Second person is M-I-K-E?
Yes. Don and Mike.
What are their surnames? Surname, their last name.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
No, never heard of them.
Really? You will. Now, do you know who Ricky Martin is?
He's a dancer.
Do you think he's gay?
I'm very sensitive about that because when a person says a person is gay, a lesbian, a faggot, bull dyke, all that bull dyke is the old expression for lesbian. Right. I say, the first thing I want to know, did you see him in the act? All right, did you see him in the basement room? Did you see him in the bed with another man? And you say, I'm very objective. Unless the person tells me that they're gay, unless I've seen him in the act, as I did one famous movie star in the act once, I saw him in the act in California.
Really? Who is that?
Well, that's not the point. But he's dead now. But that's the only way I would know. But see, I believe from old Randolph Scott movie, I believe nothing. I only believe half of what I hear, and only half of what I see.
That was what?
Randolph Scott movie, 1949, Fighting Man of the Plains. He said, I believe nothing of what I hear, and only half of what I see.
I understand, sir. So basically, you're saying no opinion.
No opinion, unless I see somebody in the act.
Well, we think in the act.
In the act, we'll let you know.
On the act.
Probably himself.
Oh, we'll have him over. We'll ask him.
Yeah, okay then.
Have a good day.
In the act.
Well, I have heard the rumors that he was
toast. Of course. A lot of people have, but there's a lot of rumors about everybody.
Yeah, I tell you what, there was a girl on my job, and they said she's a lesbian, but the woman had two children in the past 2 years.
Well, how can you explain that then?
That's what I'm saying.
Unless she adopted them.
Well, I'm inclined to think most people are bisexual. That's my opinion.
Oh, really?
I'm inclined to think that most people are bisexual. That's my personal opinion.
Are you bisexual?
No comment. No.
Yeah.
Listen, have a good day, sir. Appreciate your time.
Hey, you didn't run out of there too fast, did you?
I was wondering, can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
I don't know.
No idea? Do you care to guess?
No. Mm-hmm.
Do you know who Ricky Martin is?
No.
You don't? He's a famous Puerto Rican singer.
I never heard of him.
Never heard of him?
Can't speak.
Have a good day.
I'm dumb.
No, actually, I think I got a good guy there. Thank you.
Catch him in the act.
Excuse me, sir. Can you tell me, do you know who Don and Mike are?
Don and Mike. No. Do they have a morning talk show?
They have an evening talk show. They're on from 7 to 11. Good guess, though.
Uh-huh.
It's on 102.7 WNEW. We'd like to personally invite you to listen.
Uh-huh.
Who Ricky Martin is?
Yes.
Do you think he's gay?
No.
Really? Not at all? Not even
please.
A chance?
I think he's just living la vida.
Understood. Thank you for your time.
Living la vida penis.
Can I ask you the same question?
I don't know. Who is that? Who is he? No.
Okay. Have a good day. For your time? Can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
No idea.
Could you say no? Because we're doing a tape here. It doesn't work if you shake your head.
No idea.
No idea? Okay. Do you know who Ricky Martin is?
Yes.
Do you think he's gay?
I have no opinion.
No opinion at all? Thank you for your time.
Liar. All right, let's go with one more. I'm getting bored with this. One more, and then we'll find the
Can you tell me who Don and Mike are?
I have no idea.
No idea.
Care to venture a guess?
Hold on, are they the guys that... CBS radio. Are they the guys that come on after Opie and Anthony?
Ah, yeah. Bingo!
excellent job, sir.
Right, you are.
And you'll be on their show tonight.
Fantastic.
So we can count on you listening. Can you tell me, do you think Ricky Martin is gay?
Yes. He is a flaming homosexual.
When does someone actually jump into the sphere and become flaming? What denotes that?
When they can't admit it to themselves or anyone else, but it's obvious to the entire world.
That's yes!
Flaming.
Yes!
Absolutely flaming.
Yes! Anyone else have an opinion on Ricky Martin, man?
Yes, finally. Okay, turn it off.
One more?
You want one more?
One more, okay.
All right, one more. All right, add up those results, though.
We are five out of 23.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
5 out of 23. If that was the ratings, what would our share be, Charlie? If it was 5 out of 23,
Charlie's getting his calculator out.
Wow. That would be almost a 20 share.
Fantastic.
Now, we've only been on the air in New York for a month.
Way to go.
And already, officially, do you hear that, New York?
Yes.
Already, our unofficial ratings show us with a 20 share.
A 20 share. That's unprecedented.
Okay, so you want to play one more?
This one. I don't know, though. This one.
Useful for you, I promise. Can you tell me, do you know who Don and Mike are?
No.
Never heard of him?
Never heard of them.
I'm Don.
Okay, to the next one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just liked your answer.
Okay. All right, 5 out of 23.
Very, very good.
Yeah. Can you tell me, sir, do you know who Don and Mike are?
No. Can't speak.
Am dumb.
That would be a 21 share.
Oh, my God.
21.7.
Beautiful.
The question is this. Can you tell me who Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara are?
Wrestlers or?
Wrestlers, exactly right. Now, the question is, do you know if they're in the WWF or the other one? The WCW, yeah.
I think they're in the WCW.
Right again.
Have you ever seen them wrestle?
No.
They wrestle together, which is exciting. Now, the second question is, do you know who Ricky Martin is? No, he's not a wrestler. I'll give you that clue.
He's a musician.
Right. Do you think he's gay?
Yes.
What evidence have you seen that supports that?
His dancing abilities.
Straight guys can't dance?
There
we go.
Nicely done. Very nice survey, Rob.
Thank you.
Very nice survey.
Bully! Were there any more yes ones that you got?
I don't think so.
So we got 5 out of 23. That's good.
I was right. Okay, so Buzz, you hit it right on the head.
And only 12 people thought that Ricky Martin was gay. That comes to about 1 in 5 of all the people that we heard.
They all know he's gay. I mean, I know. I'm willing to accept the fact that a lot of people don't know who we are, but everybody knows Ricky Martin's a homo.
Yeah, come on, people, don't hide from your feelings.
Come on, he's so gay. He is so gay. Can't speak. Am dumb. Let's go to Buzz and get an update on the news and the comments, and then we're going to come back and do the nude feud. Need that Buzz music, Jimmy. That would be the cue when I said we're going to go to Buzz now for some news.
There
you go. Thank you.
This is the first time during the show that we've become aware of Jimmy once again.
The presence of Big Gum Jim. Buzz, what is your lead story on the news and comments? Is it that 5 people out of 23 in New York knew who we were?
That should be the lead story, shouldn't it? But no, our lead this evening is the Pope throws a rock concert.
Oh, the Pope. Oh, excellent. Hold on, let me just clear through these calls real fast. Let's go to Matt. Go to Matt right now. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
I just want to tell you, I don't know if you guys saw this. I was watching HBO the other night, and they got that Real Sex, and they're showing like reruns of Real Sex.
Right, yeah.
And they showed Big Pussy from Sopranos in a bar, and he was like one of the interview people. You know how it says, you know, how do you like to do it, like doggy style or whatever?
I've seen lots of Big Pussy on that show, Real Sex.
On Real Sex, yeah.
Well.
Right.
Not that Big Pussy.
BHP. You're saying it's the actor from The Sopranos?
Oh, I know for a fact it was. It was unmistakable. It was fat Italian guy with that. I mean, it was him. It was him.
What were they asking him about?
I don't remember what they were asking him about, but one thing I do know is I've heard him on another radio show, which I won't mention, and he used to own a club, so I guess this was maybe an old show. I mean, I know it was an old Real Sex.
Was Big Pussy having sex with somebody?
No. You know, it was in between the segments. It was in between the segments where they say, you know, what's your favorite position? Just the people on the street or whatever.
I've seen that, right.
What's his favorite position?
Sitting down.
I don't know.
All right, thank you.
I didn't grasp.
All right, yeah, right.
That guy couldn't speak. I'm dumb.
Let's go to Dam. Sam. Let's say Dam.
Sam.
Let's go to Dam Sam.
Here's Dam.
Sam.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, Don. Buddy.
Yes. Hey, buddy.
Hi.
Hey, hell yeah,
Ricky Martin's gay. I can't believe these people don't think he's gay.
Well, you know, thank you for answering that, but unfortunately, in order to answer that, you have to be on the streets of New York.
Thank you. Can't speak. I'm dumb.
Do you think Keanu Reeves is a fag?
I think that there's maybe a 60-40 chance he is.
I'm going to say not a chance. No way.
You don't think so?
I think he might. I think there's a better chance he's bi than he's just a fag.
And I think it's important to note that when I say not a chance, it doesn't mean I can't hope he is. Hope
again. Yeah, really.
Hope, sure.
Yeah, I think he is, but...
I think he likes both. I really do.
Well, there's so many actors that I wish were really, you know, out of the closet gay.
Thank you. Goodbye. Did we have another one? Okay, go to Mike. Mike?
Hi, Mike.
Nope, not there.
He's gone. Do you have another line up, Jimmy?
Okay, all right.
Buzz, your lead story with the Pope.
Yes.
Right, okay, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for news and the comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike show.
That was very...
Proposal.
Broadcasting from the legendary studios of WNEW in New York City, here's Don and Mike.
All right, let's do a mic check. Oh, just see, now doesn't that sound better?
Yes, it does. It sounds much better. I'm very, very glad you did that.
Yeah, I just played with some of the equipment here.
Jimmy, that sound good down the line?
You know, the mic set sounded so hollow for the whole first hour and a half of the show, and then somebody told me that one of these old, decrepit WNEW engineers who's been here since this building was erected, and I use the word erected.
Sure.
In very limited proximity to these guys, that these guys came in and screwed with the levels yesterday.
I'll fix their wagon.
Right.
Hey, Southerners.
That just sounds better in my headphones.
It does.
Everybody's microphone is now at the same level of juice.
That's right. And Jimmy, does that sound okay?
It's a little hot.
It's a little hot? All right, let me make it a little softer. How's that?
Much
that
better.
That's a little softer. Okay,
that's
good.
That's better. Okay, we're all
beautiful.
All late now.
Hey, before we go to Buzzy, let's go to Franco, who's calling us from California. Franco.
Don and Mike and Robbie, you guys are kicking ass in New York.
Franco America. We like it here. We dig it here. This is the greatest city in the world, and it's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, have Rob take that survey in about 6 months, and everybody's going to know who you are.
No, we'll see. It's a good way to gauge. And frankly, I was surprised. I really thought that nobody would know who we
are. That's terrific.
And that was very funny, and my comment is that it's true. Everybody that knew Ricky Martin was gay also knew you two guys.
That's right, all the real smart people.
That's true.
Thank you, my friend.
Stugatz.
Right, Stugatz to you.
Hey,
Stugatz. Okay, go to Mike. Mike, who wants to talk about French people. Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
I got the bottom line for you on the French.
Right, F the French.
Bottom line. They're cheese-eating surrender monkeys.
Pardon me? What'd you say?
They're cheese-eating surrender monkeys. You know the first thing they teach them in the French army? They spend a week learning how to say, I surrender in German.
Hey, listen, I want to say, if only I had my copy of God Bless America here.
Yes, the French. And for as long as I can remember, the French have been effing us.
Yes. That's Let me also say grum.com.
That's the first thing. Oh, get him off the phone with his plug. But that's the first thing the Germans did.
Yes.
Hitler put 1 foot in Germany,
right,
and 1 foot in France. He was like straddling the line.
Yeah, and they lay down.
And as soon as he put that foot in France, they said, oh, Mr. Hitler, please come to Paris.
Hello, you can come into our town, into Paris. Yes, go under the Arc de Triomphe, and we will not fight you. We will not fight you. What we will do, we will cry.
Oh.
We will cry like the women that we are. Oh, yes, come on in, Hitler. Yes, we are doormats.
And then when they found out how bad Hitler was, like they didn't know in the beginning,
right,
that's when they said, oh, please, America, please, great America, come and save us.
And then, of course, after you save us, now we just, we on you.
Yes, that's what we do because we are France.
And we do not shave our armpits and we do not believe in bathing.
But we have a wonderful wine. Wonderful wine for you, yes, and you can have our wine, but do not fly your jets over our airspace.
No, that's the thing that really pissed me off. Was that during the Gulf War?
It might have been the Gulf War.
When they wouldn't allow us to fly over their airspace?
That's when they were really effing us.
French.
Oh, the French.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
That was a little moment on the French.
Of course, Mr. French is great.
Oh, yes.
Sebastian Cabot.
Mr. French.
Hello, Buffy. Hello, Jody. Oh, I know you're freshly scrubbed, but you need to get back in the tub again for me.
Uncle Bill, Mr. French is touching me.
Jody, come on now. The water's warm, and I'm in the tub also.
Mr. French, you're hairy and naked.
Yes, come on now. We're going to drain the tub and pick my hairs out of the drain.
Uncle Bill, Mr. French made me touch his no-no.
Stay out of here, Bill. I've got the children. I'm doing just fine. It's bathing time.
Uncle Bill.
It's your 40th bath today.
He's washing my freckles off, Uncle Bill.
Hello, Buffy. Hello, Jody. Scrub, scrub, scrub. Two children and one man in a tub.
Uncle Bill, if he keeps doing this, eventually my sister's going to kill herself.
Now, you stop that. Stop that and stay out of here, Brian Keith. Just rub your face.
And didn't she eventually kill herself?
Yes, she
didn't
did,
Buffy
yeah.
kill herself?
I believe so.
Right.
They didn't link it to Mr. French, though.
No.
All right, Buzzy, let's go to news.
It's the Pope John Paul Show with the Pope's special guests, Lou Reed and the Eurythmics.
Wow.
The Pontiff is hosting a rock concert May 1st called the Great Jubilee Concert for a Debt-Free World. The money will go to the world's poorest countries, and reports say the Pope is expected to take the stage with Lou Reed, despite Lou's songs about sex and drugs.
You know, Jimmy, we must have some Pope music lying around somewhere.
Hey, Lou.
There it is.
He's here.
He's shown up.
That's great.
Your Holiness, first of all, welcome to New York City.
Yeah.
Thank you. And first, everybody knows Ricky Martin's a big fag.
Ah, yes. Way to go on the record for that. And I had no idea you were a big rocker, Your Holiness. I didn't know you were into
it. Yeah. Lou Reed kicks ass.
Take a walk on the wild side. Huh?
I said, hey, babe. And the colored girls go, doot, be-doot, doot, be-doot, doot. Oh, he kicks ass.
Way to go, Your Holiness. How have you been?
Oh, horny.
Really? Still?
I'm just a man.
Flesh
and bone.
And it's a very nice robe that you have on for the rock concert. Is that the one you're
going to
be wearing?
I've got nothing on under this robe.
Uh-huh. You always mention that to us, Your Holiness. Will you be sitting in with any of the bands at the upcoming rock concert?
I'll be jamming with Lou.
Oh, really? What's your instrument? What instrument do you play?
The flute.
Okay. You do, really. Yeah, you play that a lot, don't you?
The oboe. Any reed, I will blow.
Way to go, Your Holiness. I can't wait to hear the jam session.
No. And your rhythmics.
Yeah, Annie Lennox, right.
That girl with the crazy boy's haircut.
Right. She turn you on, Your Holiness?
Oh, yes.
Really? Annie Lennox? I didn't know that.
I'm just a man.
Flesh and bone.
Flesh and bone.
That's pretty... I've never seen you wear a papal robe that's tie-dyed, though. That's
cool.
Very, very unique. Is that a tattoo, I see?
Yeah, hell yeah.
When did you get a tattoo?
Oh, last week.
What is that design? It's very hard to make out.
Skull and crossbones.
It's like a biker tattoo, Your Holiness.
Damn right.
Pretty amazing.
Damn straight. I got a hog.
Boy, oh boy. You wouldn't think the Pope would get a tattoo.
I'm just a man.
Flesh and bone.
Flesh and bone. And I want to tell you something. I was so, so horny.
Are you? You're still horny?
Me, so horny. Had to watch American Beauty to get my nut off.
Oh, you too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big fan of that movie, huh?
Oh. When that girl takes off her shirt and she got the pepperoni-sized areolas. I called down to the desk. I said, no interruptions for the next 5 minutes.
I'm amazed that the Pope would be interested in such things. Yeah. I'm very surprised.
I love sex. I love rock and roll.
Oh, man, but you're the Pope.
And I know Ricky Martin's a big fag. He's a big fag.
Well, I love that robe. Keep that tie-dyed robe in your closet.
I pray for you.
Thank you very much.
The Vatican says the Pope also hopes to meet with the performers.
Can't speak. Am dumb.
Well, you'll be talking to the performers backstage. The Vatican says the Pope also hopes to meet with Annie Lennox and Lou Reed backstage.
Yes, come under the robe.
A 500,000 people are expected to attend the Pontiff's concert.
Yeah, Pope's going to be doing a meet and greet right after the concert.
M-E-A-T and greet.
Oh, that guy.
Climb under my robe.
Oh, yeah, the party. The party's under there.
The party's in my pants.
Yeah, lots of chips and dip.
This had the potential.
This had some Pope cheese.
This had the potential to be a very dramatic day in the Ileon Gonzalez story. He's still here, however, 3 hours after the 2 p.m. deadline passed for getting him to the airport. Janet Reno said the government would not use force to get the boy to the airport, but
Janet Reno
did expect him there.
I am Janet Reno, mm-hmm. and I just want to see little Ileon
Come on, baby, can you conga? I'll be doing a duet with Gloria Estefan, and I will be playing the tambourine.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Ilion's relatives in Florida are refusing to take him to the airport, and within an hour, they got a court to issue an injunction to delay the Justice Department's order.
What, Janet?
I was just thinking about my tambourine playing. I'm a natural.
Because you got the shake?
Thank you. Thank you, Your Holiness.
You got the Howard Cosell-like shakes.
Yes, sir.
You ever seen Janet Reno when she's standing up on a podium?
Yeah. She's getting those
shakes. Christ, she got the palsy? What's she got?
She got the Parkinson's.
Right, oh,
she got
the Ali.
Yeah, got that. She's got a little shaky there.
I didn't know she had the Ali.
Yeah, but she loves the Miami Sound Machine.
Sure.
She really does.
She can shake it.
Yes, conga. That's all I can think of right now. It's the only Gloria Estefan song I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, think about this. If your house is outfitted with those water-saving toilets, there's no relief in sight. A committee of Washington lawmakers yesterday...
They suck. I just want to say that. They suck.
Hey, I'll tell you something you were right about, Mike. That hotel, that water pressure in that hotel...
I tell you, it is...
Christ, it was fantastic.
The single greatest shower I have ever had in that hotel room.
Yeah. Mike said to me this morning, we were talking about this, have you had your shower yet? You know, what kind of a...
He did, though.
I thought it was perfectly normal, and now you're playing it back, and it sounds real weird.
We got to talking. Mike said, you had your shower yet? And I said, no. And he said, well, when you get in there, the water pressure... Mm-hmm. He said, well, first, when you get in there, think of me.
I said, have you had your shower yet? He said, no. I said, I'll be right down.
But he said, the water pressure is fantastic. You will love the water pressure.
I have never been in a hotel where I had that kind of water pressure. And that, to me, is, you know, I don't have good water pressure at home. I love great water pressure.
Yeah. Yes. Where it actually burns your skin. The water is coming out of the head so hard.
It's incredible. And, you know, to be up on the 26th floor is where I was, and to get that kind of water pressure, amazing.
I'm jealous that you got our water pressure, then ours has none. Mm-hmm. We have no water pressure. It dribbles out of the shower head.
Mine's okay.
No one in our hotel speaks English.
That's true.
If your house is outfitted with those water-saving toilets, no relief in sight, a committee of Washington lawmakers yesterday voted to keep the law that requires these new toilets, shower heads, and faucets to be water savers. The law requires new toilets to use only 1.5 gallons of water per flush instead of the 3.5 gallons we grew up with.
And if you're a stuffer like I am, it's constant trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing worse than having to reach down into a toilet with your hand and pull out the clog of toilet paper. And then immediately, you know, race to the sink to get fresh water on your hand. It's my own toilet, but I still hate doing it.
Sure.
You know, other people use it too.
Well, the water saver law was passed 8 years ago.
Yeah, and your poops are great. The other people in your house you worry about.
No, I mean, if it's me and I, you know, I get a clog, I'll move everything out of the way down there to get rid of that clog.
Well, we got this water saver law about 8 years ago, and people have been complaining about the lack of flushing power ever since. Critics say having to flush one of the new toilets 3 times wastes far more water than one good, thorough, old-fashioned flush.
Right. They are so non-functional. If you have a water-saving toilet, you might as well just dig a hole in the backyard.
You've tried that.
Or do what I do. Just throw it out the window.
In a bucket.
Right out the window.
In a big bucket. A chamber pot.
Well, they say this law, this water saver law, has created a black market, or should we say brown market, for toilets from Mexico and Canada that do flush.
Really? Well, do they get the big toilets down in Mexico?
They do, and in Canada.
Really?
Yeah, if you know a guy.
Oh, fantastic.
You can hook you up.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Hey, I understand you want the big toilet, huh?
Yeah, ship it to me, the big super toilet.
You got the giant poops?
Yeah, I got the big poops, and I'm a stuffer. Lots of toilet paper. I'll use half a roll sometimes.
I get you that big one.
No, thank you very much.
The big one.
Thanks so much, Juan. Send that toilet to me right away.
And another committee of lawmakers in Washington, meanwhile, has voted for a crackdown on cockfighting. The vote was unanimous.
Why? Never, Buzz. That's not right. Never.
The vote was unanimous to ban the shipment of cocks across state lines.
Pardon me, Buzz?
You can no longer, under this law, if it passes, you could no longer ship cocks across state lines.
Ship what?
Roosters, you know, cocks.
Ship cocks?
For cockfighting.
How many cocks do they ship a day?
I don't know. I don't have. There are no figures on that, too, because that, too, is a black market.
So there are large numbers of cocks that get shipped?
Yeah, I get the impression a lot of cocks, so they wouldn't be talking about this law.
Now, this black market on cocks. Are we talking about black cocks? Is that what you would call them? Black market cocks?
I really think, I've gotten the impression it's cocks of all colors.
I think that the cocks come in different colors. I really do. Yeah. Especially the the cockfighters.
They're mostly white, I think. But
there are some black cocks, though.
Brown ones. Yes.
I hear the black cocks are the biggest.
Really?
That's just what I hear.
That could be. I don't know.
Have you ever been to one of those things where they where cocks fight?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was at a cockfight one time.
Really?
Where they got so punch drunk, the cocks started spitting at each other.
It's very mean.
There's nothing like seeing a cock
this
law.
And it wasn't blood. Yeah. It wasn't blood they were spitting.
Just angry.
Could be.
I don't know what it was.
This law.
Amazing. I didn't know that was part of their fighting. I really just thought they clawed each other.
No, they pecked each other. They pecked and they pecked and pecked and then all of a sudden he just spit.
So a cock can spit.
Oh, yeah. 15 feet.
Is there anything... Well, you know, the handlers, though, they get them all riled up. Is there anything they can do to make the cock spit?
Yeah, they rough them up. They rough them up.
Yeah, they do.
They take the cock, and what they do is they...
I heard that the referee is called a captain. And he's the one that he's responsible of. And they, you know, they're making it spit for the captain.
Oh, all right, I didn't know. I didn't know make it spit for the captain. Okay. How long has it been since we've heard make it spit for the captain on this show?
I don't know. Shadow Smith.
Oh,
a long time ago.
God damn.
Well, this law would make trafficking in cocks a federal crime. It also closes a legal loophole for people prosecuted under the various state laws against cockfighting.
This is a free country. I think people can do what they want with their cocks.
Hear, hear.
Well,
yes.
A former senator from Idaho would agree with you. He says it's elitists in Washington who think they know what's best for the rest of the country that may put honest game breeders out of business.
Yeah, what do they know about our cock?
He says it could have a chilling effect on circuses, rodeos, and dog races, not to mention the right of each state to govern itself.
Yes, that's right. Cocks for everybody. That's what I say.
Yeah, I'll move to Idaho if they're going to try to tell me what to do with my cock.
Buzz, hold on a second. Let me go through a couple of these calls. Let's go to Chris from Sacramento. Hello, Chris.
Don and Mike, radio gods, how are you?
Hey, buddy.
Not being my buddies anymore with this New York ass-kissing stuff that you guys are doing.
Oh, what ass-kissing?
What, this Andy and Opie stuff yesterday, your drag competition, you should have head-butted both of them when you saw them.
They're not our competition.
Aren't they on right now?
Yes, but
you should be on right now in New York. You're not the radio gods anymore, you're the radio wussies.
Oh, F you. You'd see, the problem with you is that you don't understand anything about the radio business. Our show is syndicated.
You want more money because Frieda's not managing your money right.
This is an angry man. We have an angry young man on the line.
I'm listening to Dr. Laura because you guys are kissing their asses.
All right, go ahead, you big pussy.
Yeah, you big wuss. Go ahead. That show will be better for you anyway.
Go ahead.
F you.
Johnny Vagina.
F you sideways.
Good riddance.
Jesus Christ. You know, I got to understand the first goddamn thing about the radio business. You know, we had to face the fact. To get on in New York, we had to take the 7 to 11 show.
Absolutely.
Because Opie and Anthony have the only show on WNEW that has any ratings.
Right. That's correct.
Now, you know, I wish this company would just get its head out of its ass and move them to the morning and move us to the afternoon.
That is the solution to the problem.
But everybody's afraid to do that.
Right.
I mean, not them, not us. You know, Ken and Jeremy are afraid.
Come on, boys.
So, you know, Opie and Anthony are the only thing that have numbers on this thing.
Make a fist.
Right, Jesus Christ. You know, we argue with every other goddamn disc jockey that we ever meet. The first time we're nice to disc jockeys, that guy, oh, F that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I had my caller ID here.
Yeah, he's just a pain in the ass, see?
I really do. I'd send him a big black rooster. I would say, this black cock is for you. And I would tell him to take that black cock and shove it right
up him. Tough to do that with a rooster.
Let's take another call. Let's go to Scott. Scott, hello, Scott.
We're talking about cockfighting.
Scott. All right, not there. Go to Marianne. Hey, Marianne.
Okay, go to Ginger.
Jimmy, are you hearing me? How about Barry?
Barry. Are we in?
Oh, that's okay. I'm just doing a radio show.
He'll be right back.
What's great, though, with Jimmy is he can be sitting about 8 feet from the phones, and his fingers are so long he can actually reach over and
with
do that.
With his big Arsenio Hall E.T. fingers.
Well,
what did you do?
I had to reset the phones. I'm sorry.
Okay.
When Jimmy makes pasta, he doesn't even have to use a strainer. He can just use his hands.
I'm going to send you a nice big black cock in the mail also, Jimmy.
You know when you go to the boardwalk and you have that little machine where you put the quarter in and the little hook comes down and tries to pick up something? That was modeled after Jimmy's hand.
Wow. All right. Well, what was that? Susan. Dang, I don't want to talk to Susan. I wanted to talk to Marianne or Barry or Scott. Anybody except Susan.
Hey, baby.
Marianne. Hi, Marianne.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, I have a comment about those lawmakers and the low-flow toilets.
Yes.
You know, I think what you should do is we should lock all of them in a room with a low-flow toilet, a box of X-lax, and a frustration of trying to get the paper down the toilet and see how quickly they will change.
Yes, but let's talk about cocks. What do you feel about, how do you feel about cockfighting?
I love it.
Do you think that it's the right of people in this country to do whatever they want with their cocks?
You bet.
Mm-hmm. Do you love cocks?
Do I what?
Do you love cocks?
Of course I do.
Say it.
See?
Say it.
I love cock.
Yes, thanks. Yes,
Marianne, everybody.
Thank you. See, I knew I wanted to talk to Marianne.
Thank you so much for giving us what we desired.
All right, let's go to Joe. Hello, Joe. Joe, buddy.
Dad, how you doing?
Hi, buddy. Hi.
I wanted to know, in the store, do they say how big these cocks are?
No, we've been estimating here, though.
They vary in size. They're usually big cocks. I think from ground to, to the top of the head, it's probably about 12 inches. I would say 11 or 12 inches.
Wow.
I don't know what the average cock size is.
I don't know.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Joe.
I love it.
Thank you, buddy.
I'll tell you, there's no show in America to take advantage of a loophole more than we can.
What? We're talking about cocks.
That's what we're talking about.
And we can dig it.
Right on.
Cocks.
Shut your mouth.
Whatever, Shaft. Buzz, let's do a break here.
All right.
Let's do a break, and we will come back with more news and more comment right after this.
Broadcasting from the studios of WNEW in New York City, here's Don and Mike.
All right, Buzz, before we go on with the news, let's talk to John from Idaho first. Hello, John, buddy.
Hey, Don and Mike, buddies.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
Going great, thank you.
Greetings from the land of the free cocks. We got lots of free cocks over here. I was just going to invite you guys down, see if you wanted to take part in any of this.
Cocks, aren't they? I mean, they're out there on the open plain, and I would think if you have...
What do you mean? You drive in your car, and you just look out the window, and you see cocks? See cocks?
I would think so.
Yeah, there's cocks everywhere. But, not many black cocks, though.
You know what the thing is, though? When they're out there like that, what you do require is you have to round them up. And don't they use hounds?
Yeah, they use cock hounds. They're some big beagle-looking dogs.
Thank you, sir.
I think I may have seen a cock hound or two on the streets last night.
I believe so. There were many of them. I think there may have been some in our limo, frankly. There you go.
Thank you. Let's go to Chad. Hello, Chad, buddy.
Don and Mike, how you doing, buddies?
Hey, my friend, we're doing great, thank you.
Hey, yeah, I'm a little concerned. Are they going to extend this to international borders? I mean, I'd hate to smuggle my cock overseas.
Everybody's getting in on the fun.
Everybody loves it. Well, who doesn't love a good cock?
I tell you, roosters are very popular animals.
Well, I think you're safe taking your cock. Where did you want to take your cock to? Hello?
Oh, he's gone.
He's gone.
Not everybody uses them for fighting. Some people keep them as pets.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you stroke your pet.
Mm-hmm.
You rub your pet,
Okay, rub your pet cock.
That's right.
Very good.
That's right. And eventually, state lines will be guarded by cock blockers. Eventually, if we continue in this socialistic state.
Probably work for ATF, they'll be up there, and there'll be cock blockers at every border, crossing.
I believe Janet Reno's a cock blocker.
Mm-hmm.
She may be the biggest cock blocker.
Well, I know that they try to smuggle them into the country. I think you've always got somebody who's trying to slip a cock into the country. We're having too much fun, aren't we?
Yeah. Buzz,
yes.
Buzz, does your next story involve cocks at all?
Sadly, it does not.
Oh, we'll make sure it does. Don't worry about it.
Work that in. A guy who had a walk-on The Sopranos is going to prison for being a bad guy in real life.
Wow. Who's that?
Thomas Bifalco of Brooklyn. He just had a walk-on. Faces up to 6 years for bullying old people into buying fake stocks. Authorities say he ran a boiler room on Wall Street that was little...
Stay cool.
There's one of the old people.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally bilked of hundreds of thousands of dollars. Little more than a bank of phones and a wastebasket, according to police.
That is just like the movie Boiler Room.
Exactly.
Did you ever see Boiler Room with Ben Affleck, who was in that movie for exactly 5 seconds?
Is that a good movie?
Yeah, it was, except it's, I think I told you this when I saw it, it's false advertising where they say starring Ben Affleck.
He's not really in it.
He's in two scenes.
But he will be Batman, so you'll get that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he'd be a good Batman.
Well, for what it's worth, this Bifalco character refuses to rat on his co-defendants. He also passed up an opportunity to pay back his victims. You know, that's weird because, of course, the plot lines on The Sopranos with the stock market that being so involved in that. Remember when Christopher set up shop?
Right.
That's probably what it was.
Hello, this is Joe Coins from Donald Lieberman's office. I'll take 200 of those. we all like that. Give me some of those. Give me 200 shares of that stock.
That's a good deal. Thank you, Mr. Bifalco.
Stay cool.
Stay cool.
There's already a snag in the plans to have JonBenet's parents take that lie detector test. Boulder police say the deal is off because the Ramseys have attached a new condition to the test.
Don't worry, Mike. I don't have the tape here.
Good. I'm glad.
Did you kill your daughter?
No.
There it is. Now, at first, all the Ramseys asked was that the test be given in Atlanta, where they live now, that the results be made public, and that the test be given by an independent polygraph expert. Boulder police accepted those terms, but the third-party tester chosen was the FBI. Now, the Ramseys say the FBI is inclined to side with the police and therefore is not an independent third party.
Huh?
You know, that sounds awfully shifty.
Why?
You know, that, the Ramseys said they'd take the test if you got a third-party tester. The Boulder police said, okay, how about the FBI? The Ramsey said, no, that's not.
Who do the Ramseys want? Aileen Cunningham?
Somebody not the FBI.
Some carny?
Right.
They probably,
like
they, you know, and whatever happens with the Ramseys, even if it comes back that the lie detector, they fail the lie detector, you know, they're gonna make noise about the fact that it wasn't a legitimate test.
Right.
You know, this is just an exercise in nothing.
Speaking of which, the Fox network didn't exactly
Fox rhymes with cock.
Absolutely. Hey, you worked it into the later stories. Well, now, the network didn't exactly investigate itself. It paid somebody else to do that. But the investigation that Fox paid for says that Fox is not to blame for the Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire fiasco. The investigation says the company hired by Fox to do background checks on the participants is also blameless in all this. The investigation, again, paid for by Fox, puts the blame squarely on the shoulders of the chosen groom, Rick Rockwell.
Yeah, he's the bad guy. This could not have come at a better time because we're going to have Rick Rockwell in the studio on the show Monday, and we will grill him about all of this
stuff. Yeah, well, ask him about that, because, I mean, they're saying, of course, in this story that, you know, the reason this all happened
is his fault.
Because he lied about the, you know, the problem.
I mean, and it is his fault, but I don't know how much his fault it is that they weren't able to find out that he had the restraining orders.
Well, the investigation paid for by Fox says that Rick should have been more forthcoming about his past. Still, Fox says it will shy away from this kind of program in the future.
Hold on there, Buzzy. Let me go to Bob. Bob calling us from Oregon, maybe from Portland. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I got some news for you that I pass along. There's a woman police officer in Portland. Her name was Deborah Woodcock, and she had a sex change. Now her name is Damon Woodcock, and had some problems in the locker room. Some other officers crashed her locker, so now she's suing for damages, or he's suing for damages, because he's been emotionally traumatized.
Well, you know what? This is
a joke.
No, this is not a joke.
It isn't.
This is not a joke. This is a true story from Portland about a police officer who had this change.
Right.
To go from being a woman to be a man, and her last name is Woodcock.
And the cops are harassing, her fellow cops are harassing him.
Right.
Did she go to a he or he go to a she?
Yeah, she went to a he.
Okay.
And she didn't go all the way, right? I mean,
I believe she did.
Well, the last I had heard, she had only had some of that procedure done.
Well, I could be wrong, but that's what I heard. But it still is causing a whole bunch of, because they don't know which locker room she's supposed to have, you know.
Well, I mean, if you have the total sex change, you go in the, you know, you go in the sex of the one you chose, I guess.
I think the important part about this call, though, is that the woman's name is Woodcock.
Woodcock, right.
The woman or man, whatever. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks.
Thank you. Goodbye, Bob. Goodbye.
It's Bob.
Goodbye, Bob. Daddy.
Bob. Daddy.
Sit down, Daddy.
Daddy. Daddy, what's this about the cocks?
Sex change. Judge Smales.
Daddy.
Daddy.
Daddy. Yes, Buzzy.
President Clinton says he won't ask for a pardon. There's been talk Clinton may still be prosecuted for his indiscretions once he leaves office, and that prompted new talk about a pardon for Clinton from Al Gore. Today, Clinton told a reporter, I don't want one, and I am prepared to stand before any bar of justice. I don't want one. I don't care. After I'm out of of office, I will be on Paradise Island in the Bahamas, and I will be turgid.
You know a little bit about cockfighting, don't you, Mr. President?
I certainly do. I'll tell you right now, I think it's the right of every American to do whatever they want with their cocks.
You ever fight with your cock?
No, I'm not. I don't advocate that. It's not my kind of entertainment. You know, I think you should love your cock.
Do you love your cock?
I do indeed. Thank you very much.
Does your wife love your cock?
Well, not really. She's out of town so often. You know, she really is.
She hardly sees your cock,
no,
right?
No, I'm the one that has to pet it. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a very nice. It makes a racket, too.
Your cock makes a lot of noise?
Oh, yeah. They're very noisy animals. They're very dirty. Very dirty. My cock makes a very loud noise. And it's constantly spitting at me.
Paul McCartney's girlfriend is getting over. So is your cock hot-headed? Is that what you're saying?
Very hot-headed. Yeah, very. It's an angry cock. It's always angry.
Scream all you want to.
It's the red variety.
Red and angry.
Thank you very much. Hello, how are you?
Paul McCartney's girlfriend is getting over $300,000 for the leg she lost 7 years ago.
That doesn't seem like a very fair price.
Hello.
Not a lot of money.
Hello. One of my legs is worth $700,000.
$300. Don't you think that's a little, Paul McCartney's girlfriend, don't you think that's a little cheap for your leg?
Hello. Yes, I do.
Former model Heather Mills lost the leg in a wreck involving a police motorcycle. Judges in the case say the cop was not driving recklessly, but the officers sued Heather for his injuries, so she says she had no choice but to sue him back. The $300,000 is the out-of-court settlement of her case. Mm-hmm. All right, Buzzy, give me one more, and then we have to break. And Jimmy, stand by with a random music bed, please, for after this last story from Buzz.
And from our That's How They Get You department, a European company has just bought a very American institution, Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream.
Oh, no.
Thought you ought to know that.
Who bought them?
European company?
European company, an English-Dutch conglomerate.
Hello.
Oh, that sucks.
Hello.
I also thought you ought to know that the same company has just bought the diet food company known as Slim Fast. Fatten them up, slim them down, fatten them up, slim them down. That's how they get you.
There's another one of those newscasts with some kind of a goddamn hidden message in it.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Chunky Frusion Glaja.
Some kind of a message. Jimmy, roll a music bed here, because I want to... Oh, not this one. Anyone but this one. We played this one at the beginning of the show. Just give me anything else. Please. Jimmy. That's good. Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, baby.
Listen, we're going to open up the telephones now. We'll do a little round of where are you? Where are you right now listening to the show?
You know, if you're listening to this music, this is what we were digging last night at the Blue Note in New York City. Right. We were sitting in the front row, just bouncing our heads up and down.
But there were lots of cocks at that show last night.
No, didn't see any. Didn't see any at all.
Maybe they were all hidden.
Looked to be a cock-free environment.
If you are listening to the show right now, congratulations. But we're looking for folks who are listening to the show in the most unusual places. I'll tell you, the best one we ever had was a guy who locked himself in the trunk of his car.
Right.
With his radio on.
But see, that's been used, so you can't use that. Now, we had a guy, I think, in a slaughterhouse one time.
Yeah, we had a guy call us from a mortician's office.
Yeah, that was one of that comes to mind.
We had a guy call us one time. He was driving a hearse.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I believe that we couldn't verify it because we had no way of knowing. I think we wanted him to bring the phone to the back of the hearse and actually slap the dead guy's face with the phone, but he wouldn't do that.
He wouldn't do that. I can't imagine why.
So we'll have $100 on the line. If you can tell us where you are right now, where are you listening to this show?
And, of course, the most unusual, completely out there location is going to be the winner.
Right. And then we can send Robbie out on the street for some nude feud fun. But let's do this first for everybody listening to the show calling in right now. Toll-free number 1-877-365-3636. We'll find out where you are listening to the show when we come right back.
Testing live from New York, New York, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, Charlie, how far did you say MTV was from here?
About 12 blocks.
10 or 12 blocks? Oh, I'd love to send Rob there today. I guess we'll have to wait till next week. We're going to send Rob down for TRL.
Very good.
Have him hold up a big sign that says, like, Carson's a fag. Or maybe have him hold up a sign that says, I love you, Carson.
I love you, Carson. That's the way you go, because then he gets invited in. I love you, Carson. And maybe you could wear shorts.
I like that.
Yeah, we'll dress you up, Rob.
Gym shorts. I mean, real, like, maybe like a...
Stossel shorts.
Stossel, no, how about Adidas shorts, you know, with the stripe down?
Wait, how about, like, bicycle pants?
Yeah, there you go.
Rob, would you wear bicycle pants?
No, of course, he would never move back to where he's come from, you know? I mean, he wouldn't move back to where we had him in a bra and the big Afro wig.
Oh, those are the good old days.
He fears that, you know? I'm looking at his face right now, and I'm seeing him. He's the deer in the headlights now going, no, I will not go back to that.
Well, you know, maybe we can find someone here
right.
to do our dirty work for us.
Absolutely.
Some young lemming who we can send out in some weird outfit to hold up a sign that says, Carson Daly, I love you.
I love you, Carson.
Well, Rob, would you hold up the sign that says, Carson, I love you?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Make it real pretty. Make the sign really pretty with, like, hearts and stuff like that.
Would you hold up a sign that says, Carson, I want to have sex with you?
Well, I would, but it would be a lie.
Of course it would be. Well, it would also be a lie that you love Carson Daly.
I don't know about that.
You could put both on the sign. Carson Daly, I love you, and I want to have sex with you.
I want to be Mrs. Carson Daly.
Mrs. Daly, yeah.
Carson Daly, I want to marry you.
I love you, I want to have sex with you, I want to marry you.
I want to have children with you.
Just put you in front of TRL with that sign. All right, we'll do it next week. Let's go to these calls right now. Jimmy, a little music, please, to get me in the mood for Where Are You Listening to This Show? You know, we do have a national show. It's on all over the place, and people listen to us in wacky, offbeat locations. Let's start with Mike on line number 3. Mike, where are you listening to the show?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Listening to you on the set of a Billy Dee Williams movie. They're filming here in Lafayette.
Must be a very low-budget movie.
It is.
Billy Dee Williams, is he the star of the movie?
Yes, he is.
Wow.
Is Billy Dee there?
Hang on a minute. Mr. Williams. Mr. Billy Dee's nuts!
Oh,
that's good.
Well, it's carrying over from yesterday. That's okay.
No, it's not.
We were caught hook, line, and sinker again because we let our guard down.
That was a one-time happening.
Mr. William, Billy D.
We did walk into it.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Let's go to Jeff. Jeff in Sacramento. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
I'm calling from Sacramento, California, and I am in a crematory right now.
You're in a crematorium?
Yes, it's called the crematory.
All right, well, how do we prove that you're in a crematory?
I've got 10 dead bodies in a freezer in back of me. I don't know. You could call this number, and I'll answer it. The crematory.
Well, it could just be your number at home, though, and you can pick up the phone and say, hello, crematory.
I don't know. How do I prove it? You tell me.
Well,
I've got ashes right here on the desk, but you can't see them.
Do you have a furnace?
Oh, we got a retort, bro.
What's a retort?
A retort is a machine that they cremate people in.
Hey, bro.
Does that make a noise?
Oh, yeah.
Can we hear it?
Hang on. We didn't get the phone to reach that far.
Why don't you put a body in right now for us?
I just did. Right before I came in and found out you guys were, called, where are you calling from?
Is the body already toast?
Oh, yeah, it's on fire, bro.
Is it burning right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bro.
All right, bro.
I'm sorry, I won't say that again.
And then you're going to have, ashes and put it in, an urn or something?
Yeah, you can't hear that machine?
Yeah, hold on.
Hold on, just hold the phone up there. Let us just listen to it. You know, that could be anything. That could be the sound of a dry...
Prove this?
That could be the sound of the dry cleaners. Are you the only person cremating bodies today?
Yes, I'm the only person that works here every day.
I would imagine you work a regular 5-day work week?
Yeah, 6 days usually.
That's gotta get to you, I would think, after a while.
Being alone or just being around dead people?
Just being around all those dead bodies. How many bodies do you burn up a week?
Well, I do about 4 or 5 a day, so that's about 20, 25.
How many dead bodies that you haven't burned are in the room with you right now?
Oh, I'm in the office. They're in the freezer and back.
All right, how many dead bodies are in the freezer right now?
What, you want me to count them?
Here's what I want you to do to prove it to me. What I want you to do is get the phone.
Oh, it won't reach that far.
Oh, see, what you would have to do is actually slap the dead people with the telephone.
Now, how did I know you were going there?
Why don't you just drag one of the dead people out by the phone?
I can't.
Why? They're dead.
Disrespectful.
You know, people don't do that. These guys that work around bodies, they won't do that. It's weird. It's weird. You're saying it's disrespectful, but the real reason is it scares you, doesn't it?
No, the real reason is I could lose my job.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got no problem calling a national radio show to say that you're working at a crematory.
Nobody that I work with or anybody that, you know, is affiliated with this company probably is listening right now.
Walk us through the whole procedure of cremating a body. What do you do?
Okay, well, first they come to the back door there, and, you know, we put them in the freezer, and then I put a number on them. And
where do you put the number on them?
They come in cardboard boxes.
In cardboard boxes.
They're usually inside body bags, inside a cardboard box.
Okay. I know that.
Hold on.
I know that's true.
How can you verify that?
I verify that because, you know, I hate to say it, but my father was, that's how they do it. You cremate the bodies in like a cardboard box, right?
It has to be in a container.
Right.
All right, so you get a body.
They call it a leak-proof container.
You get a body in a bag, in a box, and then we put a number on it. What do you do then?
Well, basically, I have to write down the time it came in. I have to write down the time I cremated. I have to write down the time that I take it out of the retort. I have to write down the time that process the body, and then I have to write down the time that somebody comes to pick it up.
I think he is absolutely legit.
Do you ever
now,
get
I've
any?
I've got a crematory operator's manual right here. If you want me to read from it, that will help me prove it.
Now, do you ever get any on you?
Sometimes.
Is the smell horrible?
Yeah, but you get used to it.
How much do you get paid to be a crematory guy?
$950, so I could really use $100, man.
$950 an hour?
$950 an hour?
Yeah.
Wow, that's tough.
You mean some schmuck working at the Gap?
I started at $7 an hour.
Some schmuck working at the Gap makes more than a guy who works in a crematory?
Yeah, but do they have full benefits?
Full benefits. I believe this gentleman is absolutely 100% legit.
All right, well, read from the book. Let us hear from the book.
All right, what do you want to hear? What do you want to know?
Read me the first page of what it's like to work at a crematory.
We got the table of contents. Introduction, cremation defined.
Let me hear the introduction.
Okay, the introduction.
Welcome. Welcome to the wonderful world.
Hello, I'm Paul Miner. You've started your job as a crematory operator. Congratulations, and welcome to the fantastic world of destroying bodies.
This crematory operator's manual has been developed to standardize crematory operations in California, Washington, Oregon, and Nevada. The Cremation Association of North America recommends advice from legal counsel, state laws, and experience of successful crematories within the Western Division have been complied to produce.
Okay, all right. Hold on, you're in the running.
That's pretty darn good.
Hold on.
That's going to be tough to beat.
You know, if only you had a body that you could burn right now, we would stop the contest. If you could burn a body right now on the radio.
When we heard that sound, is there one in there right now? Jeff?
Jeff,
yes, is there? So there's one cooking right now.
Yeah, I wish I would have called you on the cell phone. Then I could have walked out there by the thing. I could have opened the door and you really could have heard it.
Is it a man or is it a woman you're burning right now?
I'm cremating a woman.
Mm-hmm. A woman how old?
Let me look at her.
Oh, I hope it's older.
Let me look at her papers here.
I hope it's older. I'm going to get the heebie-jeebies.
I got to find the number. Hang on just a second. I can't tell you who it is, so please don't ask. She was born on the 4th month, the 16th day of 1917.
Oh, she's plenty old. Let her burn.
She probably had a very nice life.
Yeah, burn her. Burn her good.
Oh, God, you are creeping me out with that.
1917, Christ, I mean, she's 90-some years old,
90s,
right?
Yeah, in her 90s.
Christ, hell, she was living on fumes for the last 10 years. How old is she, Robbie?
83.
We'll have another call.
All right, go ahead.
Hold on?
Yeah, well, hold on.
Hang on.
He's the clear leader. No kidding. That's going to be tough to beat.
No kidding. I just want to get the sound one more time of him opening up the oven door.
Right. I think he opens the door to the room where that's happening. That's where he is. We're not hearing the oven door open.
So we can hear the 83-year-old woman burning.
Oh, my God.
God damn.
What a job. I mean, what a job. Wouldn't you go squirrely with a job like that?
Yes.
I would think you'd have terrible nightmares.
You can have awful smells.
Yeah,
I mean,
really.
You know, you have the smell of... I mean, I know we kid about the smell of death.
But no, but it'd be horrible.
This guy really would have the smell of death on him.
I mean, obviously, most of the bodies have been embalmed, probably, right. but that doesn't matter when you put them in there. Oh my God.
I had a friend who started out as a mortician, and he couldn't take it. He said he went home at night and kicked the dog because you keep all these emotions in all day dealing with the emotional people.
Oh, this guy sounds okay. This guy seems pretty well adjusted.
Well, he's not a funeral director. He's actually, you know, working there without any of that.
Right.
He probably doesn't see any of the emotional stuff that a funeral director would.
He just sometimes gets, you know, the flesh on him. When it's coming out of the oven, little flakes of flesh.
Oh, my God.
Every once in a while, sees an eyeball on the floor, something like that.
I'm getting queasy just thinking about it.
A bone.
Man.
Every once in a while, he's a bone collector.
I bet he doesn't cook a lot on the grill.
Where'd he go?
He's talking to
Yeah, that's probably his boss.
I just got in serious trouble. That was my boss, and I'm in serious trouble.
Well, you didn't give the name of the company, Jeff.
Yes, I did.
Well, when did you give the name of the company? I don't believe you did.
But all I know is somebody's listening. I'm in serious trouble.
Really?
I got to go, man. Thanks.
Well, Jeff, you would have won.
Yeah, I know I would have.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Bye, Jeff. Thanks for calling. We appreciate
it. Money, though.
Well, listen, call us some other time. If you don't get fired, call us sometime when you're really going to burn a body and let us hear it. And I'll give you $100 for that.
Thanks, man.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. He's gone forever.
Don and Mike Show, the listener's friend.
Wow. Mr. Burns going, you can't talk about the process. Don't ever call a radio show.
All right. Let's go to, that's too bad. He was a good one. Let's go to Matt on line number 5. Matt. Hello, Matt.
How you doing?
Hey, buddy. Now, listen, good for you that the guy from the crematorium had to hang up.
Yeah, he had me beat, that's for sure.
Because it's wide open now. Where are you listening to our show at?
I'm listening to your show in Sacramento at Sub-Q Body Piercing.
And you're at a body piercing place?
Yeah, I work in the back manufacturing the body piercing jewelry.
Nope. Sorry about that. Not sick enough.
Have you ever pierced a labia?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. But still not sick enough. Not unless you were piercing one right now.
I can go take the phone right up front and they can pierce one.
Pierce a labia?
I don't know if there's anybody out there for a labia.
Yeah, you won't be able to.
All right, goodbye.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mitch. Hello, Mitch, buddy.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes, Mitch, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great.
Curious where I am.
Yes, of course we're curious where you
are. Just get to it, son.
Well, I think I might beat the guy in the crematory for the smell factor.
Why? Where are you?
Sam Huff's colon.
Okay. All right. Bye.
That was a long way to go for young Mitch to get his joke out of here.
Goodbye. Let's go to Johnny. Johnny.
Hey, what's going on down there?
Hey, John.
Yeah.
John, where are you? Hi.
How are you?
Doing great, thank you. Where are you, John?
I'm on a skull. A rowing skull.
You're on the river?
Yeah.
You're an oarsman?
I'm a coxswain. Wadaloodadadam.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, let's go to Amy. Amy. Amy, baby. Hi, Amy.
How you doing?
We're doing great. Amy, where are you listening to the show right now?
Well, actually, when I was trying to get through to you guys, I was standing in line at Home Depot buying a plunger because I've got a toilet that's backed up right now.
Yes, but that's not very unusual. It's rather mundane, isn't it?
Well, it's mundane now because I'm sitting in front of the toilet trying to get my boyfriend's load out of it.
Oh, boy, you are a good girlfriend.
Hey, let me hear that. Let me hear that.
Working on it.
All right, well, set the phone down, and if I can actually hear you trying to get your boyfriend's turd out of the toilet,
are you going to plunge?
You must have a smell thing going on today.
I guess it is a smell thing. Would you like to try to plunge the toilet while we're listening?
Okay, I'm going to put you guys, like, on the edge of the toilet.
All right, that's good.
Very good.
Very good. Well, that's good.
She just got into the finals.
She sure did.
Mm.
Hello?
Well, finish it. I mean, finish the job. Go ahead. Take your time.
I'm going to see if I can flush it and plunge it at the same time.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. What a good, obedient girlfriend she is. Jesus
God, it's not like
gargantuan.
You're having a tough time.
It's not working.
It's not working?
All right, let me tell you, I'm gonna walk you through this because I do this a lot. I am an expert when it comes
Shocker.
To plunging. Let me tell you this right now. First of all, get the plunger down there and don't lift it up. Don't break the seal. You have to keep that plunger down there. And if the plunger goes inside out, you know, if it flips back.
It's one of those funnel ones that looks like it's like a big orange accordion on there.
That's a better one. That's a better one to do it. But you can't, like,
get inside it, though. It's so gross.
What you do is you put the plunger down there and just leave it. Don't break the seal. Just kind of rock it back, like in a kind of a J.O. move.
Hold on.
But do it really hard. Do it really, really hard.
You're talking now to the expert of toilet plunging.
Walk her through it, Mike.
There you go.
You know what this is like? This is like Noah Wiley on ER when someone's giving CPR on the telephone.
Right. Yeah, did you hear the water going down?
Yes, I did.
I've successfully walked her through it. I'm an expert on that.
Yes, you have, Dr. O'Mara.
Now try to flush it because it's the best time to flush it. Don't let that stuff get all coagulated.
Dr.
In there.
Mike, the duty doctor.
All right, flush it now.
Okay, hang on.
Thank you. Poopy.
Come on, Amy.
Well, there's still little floaties going down.
Dr.
Feces.
Way to go, Amy.
Oh, don't be disappointed in her, Mike. She's done her best.
No, I'm happy. I just wanted to make sure that she's successfully complete. You said there's still floaties there.
Yeah, there's a couple floaties.
All right. Is it a fast filling? You know where the ball cock is?
Well,
is it?
It's one of those ones. Yeah,
word again.
Here we go. Oh, I think really, as far as home maintenance, probably the funniest thing ever invented: the ball cock.
Ball cock. Honey, where's my ball cock?
Right here, dear. Amy, how's it going?
All right, can you flush it? Try to flush it again.
Cleaned out. I think we'll be okay after that.
Try to flush it.
Okay, I'm doing it without the plunger this time.
Okay, and then it should be okay.
Amy, stay on the line for a second, okay?
Okay.
Hold on, we're gonna come back. We'll take more calls after this break. Right now, Amy's in the lead.
Yes.
I feel bad for that guy.
Yeah.
That guy at the crematorium. He would have been an absolute guaranteed winner.
Somebody got a call from the boss.
All right. If anybody out there can do better, if you're listening to the show right now under a creepier circumstance than Amy, who just stopped up the poopy toilet, call us at 877-365-3636. We'll be right back.
Live from New York City, it's the Don and Mike Show.
I would like to take just a moment out of our schedule to apologize now to the people of New York.
Yes.
Because I've just been informed that some of the best material on today's show has been edited.
Yes, it has been chopped out of our fantastic broadcast.
You know our whole thing about cockfighting?
Yes.
Well, Jeremy, and you know, this is why he is such an awful radio manager.
Yes.
It's one thing for him, because the show is on tape delay in New York, he has the option of editing stuff out.
Right.
And I know that he makes these sly little edits,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't said anything about it to him. I listened to a couple seconds of the show last night,
right,
when I used the word dick,
mm-hmm.
and he cut that out of the show.
Okay.
Okay, so we did the thing about cockfighting today, and it was about a half hour. It was a half hour, real good.
It was big fun.
Real entertaining, real slap nut funny radio.
Absolutely.
So he's sitting back there in his office with his thumb up his butt,
mm-hmm.
and he's hearing this, and he's deciding that he's not going to run it tonight on WNEW, that
right.
he's going to edit it down.
Choppy, choppy.
Which ends up making us sound like idiots that we had a great half-hour bit,
yeah.
that's going to end up being 5 minutes, and people will have no idea why we're laughing so
yeah.
much.
Yeah, they're going to do that to us, and it's very unfair.
And this is why he is such a poor manager, that he comes in halfway through the show
right.
to tell us that he's done this.
And it kind of takes the winds out of our sails. It really does.
What kind of management school do you go to?
I'd almost prefer him to do it the sneaky way and just not let us know.
Yeah, and that's always been kind of the unspoken agreement that I've had with him, that I know that he makes the edits on the show sometimes.
I would venture to say that right now he's also wishing that he had done it the sneaky way.
Well, it's just, come on, you little pissant. It's just awful. it's just awful. I hate being censored.
I know you do.
There's nothing wrong with talking about cockfighting on the radio.
I agree, and I thought we covered that subject very well.
And frankly, it was a great half hour of radio, and I'm glad that the whole country got to hear it. I'm sorry that the biggest market in this country, though, will hear an edited version, and I guess you just got done hearing it, and I apologize.
Sorry about that. We sincerely apologize.
I'm sorry. Our manager has no balls. Christ. What a woman he is.
I know. It's very unfair.
Why don't we get a dress for him?
I don't know if he'd wear it, but I think we should,
just put him in a dress.
I think next week when we're in New York City, go down to the garment district, buy him a nice frock.
Ugh. That's awful.
I know.
See, it's one thing when he used to be our boss when the show was live.
Right.
All he could do was hit an override button, and he would dump out on something that he thought wasn't fit for the air.
Absolutely.
But now that it's on tape delay, he can just sit there at the tape recorder, and he can just say, I'm going to take 20 minutes out of their show now.
Yeah, and gleefully so.
I'm going to take out all the best parts today about cockfighting.
That's right. I tell you, we should have done it yesterday. Hang him out the, the window, 10th floor here of the building, you know, at and just hold on to his heels, and that'll change his attitude.
But no more editing. Please, Don and Mike, please, pull me back into the building.
No, Jeremy, we're going to hang you out here for a lot longer.
What a speed bump he is. He really is.
Well, there's always the chance that, speaking of windows, that maybe we'll drive into work one day and he'll be on the
college.
I hope so.
I'm going to do it because I don't have to take it anymore. I'm going to jump.
Go ahead. J.B. J.B. Coleman. That's all I have to say on that topic. God damn it. I hate being edited like that.
I know.
That.
It's very frustrating for you.
You know, I remember the old days when he would just, if we were doing something he didn't like, he'd come in and he'd stick his head into the door here and he'd say, hey, you got to knock it off now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but no, now that he's the big New York program director,
that's right.
I guess he doesn't have the time to do that. He just sits in his office and listens.
Yes.
And hears a half hour of good radio go by,
mm-hmm.
then decides, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to chop out 20 minutes of it, which will make us end up sounding like idiots tonight on the show.
I know it will, and it's very frustrating.
And the show then will be like 20 minutes short in New York tonight, because you've chopped out 20 of the best minutes.
It's ridiculous.
Please. Jesus. You know, it just makes me want to start it all over again. Talking about cockfighting.
That might not be a good idea.
I could get going on it again, though.
I know you could, but it might not be a good idea.
I love talking about cocks.
I think when you talk about the roosters, of course.
Cockfighting, yeah.
Rooster fighting. Right. The little octagon with the tail feathers and all that good stuff.
Yes. That's correct.
That's right.
Right.
They fight each other, you know, because they're angry rooster. They're angry birds. They're angry fighting birds.
All right, I've made my point.
I know you have.
Don't edit out the part about Arista.
And let's bury that.
Okay, Jesus.
Hi, Jeremy. This is Jim Elliott.
Hi, it's Jim Elliott. Don and Mike, I'm calling you from Los Angeles.
I have that show edited for 15 years.
I've battled those demons.
Please don't edit the Don and Mike show.
Please don't.
Hi, this is Jim Elliott. Take the razor to the show. Chop, chop, chop away.
A little creep.
Hi. Sunshiny day as we chop in half the Don and Mike show.
You know, if you want to chop the show, why don't you just put on whatever you had before?
Mm-hmm.
Call Tom Lickass.
Yeah, you don't have to chop him.
No, yeah. He was doing great for you. I saw those ratings today. 0.3. That's the share.
Yes, Tom Lickass Blutarski.
0.3.
My God.
Jesus Christ. I got bigger things than that coming out of my stool in the morning than Tom Lykus's ratings.
Tom Lykus. I crap bigger than him.
Please. God, that's frustrating.
It is.
And then the worst part, he comes in to tell us.
I know. That was his big mistake.
I don't know. I don't see the logic in that.
If I ever see him, I'm like, why did you even say that to us? What was the point? To get us angry?
Yeah, okay.
I am so angry.
Don, thank you. Thank you for once again sabotaging the show.
That was the moment of the show. You know, just for anybody, for all of you in New York that are listening to, that just heard only a small portion of it, that was the moment where we were just having a blast. If you wonder what the moments of doing this show.
We got real comfortable in the studio. We're having real fun.
And then chop, chop, chop. I'll tell you, you missed something that was pretty damn funny. I don't mind telling you.
You sure did.
It's a shame. It's a shame it has to work. And we always say this show, you know, this show is a show that has to be monitored. You monitor this show. That's why, you know, if you're driving around and you got your kid there, you know, and you don't want to hear something, you turn it off or you change the dial. Or if it's offensive, but you make the choice. That's what it's all. There's nothing
we
do.
For the company that stood for the, which amendment is it?
The First Amendment.
I understand there are standards and stuff, but I thought we were playing by the rules.
Yeah, roosters that are fighting?
All the poor cocks.
Yes, those poor roosters.
Yeah, because they get very, I mean, you're going to exhaust me doing this.
I know.
You're really going to exhaust me.
All right, let's go back to these calls. Let's go back to another nice generic segment that Jeremy won't have to edit. Unless he finds some problem with a man burning human bodies.
It has to edit that now.
Congratulations. The Don and Mike show will be heard now from 7 o'clock till 7:12. That's all you have left is 12 minutes of show. All right, let's go to Cliff. Hi, Cliff, where are you listening to the show at right now? Cliff, buddy. Is Cliff not there?
You know how we really make his life difficult? This is so cruel. I'm not
Who, Jeremy? No, say it.
We finish the show early.
Well, no, but see, then we'd be screwing everybody.
I know.
The show in all the other cities.
You're absolutely right, but I'd love to see him try to scramble to fill 15 minutes.
Hello. This is Jeremy Coleman. I'm going to be doing 15 minutes of open line radio tonight on WNEW.
It's 10:45 in New York City. How are you? I'm about to walk on the ledge.
I'm squeezing my little ball right now, my stress ball.
Yes, my world domination exercises as I squeeze the globe.
I'm Jeremy Coleman. It's my job to make all of the radio shows as unpopular as possible.
That's right. And don't complain, because I don't have to take it anymore.
Little creep. Is somebody on the phone? Who's this?
Yes, it's Chris.
Chris, hi. Chris, where are you listening to the show at right now, my friend?
Well, I'm in Washington, D.C. I'm hanging off the top of a telephone pole.
Really? No, no, that's not bad. Remember, we had Amy, who was actually getting the poops out of her toilet. Mm-hmm.
Which was really nice, and she successfully plunged her toilet, which she gets extra credit for.
Now, how can you prove to us, Chris, that you're on top of a telephone pole?
Well, I'm kind of restricted as to where I can go and what I can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're on a telephone pole. Are there any electrical wires that you're near?
No, this is just a telephone pole.
I was going to say, because if you were, that, you know, the one way you could prove it is electrocute yourself.
Well, that would be true.
Yeah.
It'd be $100 towards your cremation.
It'd be terrific.
Now, you know what, Chris? I think we agree we're going to have to cut this guy loose?
Yeah, he's just hanging from a telephone pole, but it just isn't thick enough.
Sorry, Chris. Let's go to Johnny. John.
Hi-oh.
Johnny.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hi, John. Doing great, thank you.
All right, well, I might not, I was thinking about what you just said to poor Chris up there on the telephone pole, but unfortunately we've been looking for a neighbor's dog for a while in my neighborhood, and I found it this afternoon, and I was listening to we have outdoor speakers in the back of the house, I was listening to you guys, and I thought the crematorium dude, and then the toilet plunger lady, and he said, let's get some more calls, so I thought I'd give a call, and I found a dog here in my backyard, and they said,
what the hell are you talking about? What is going on?
What's the point, sir?
Well, you said what you guys were doing. You were trying to find someone who was doing strange things while they were listening to your show.
Yes, we understand that.
Looking for a lost
dog. A dead dog into a plastic bag that the animal control officers here in D.C. gave me. And I'm having trouble doing it.
Wait, hold on.
Every time I move the dog, parts of the dog, like, the dog is falling apart.
Oh. No, listen, I'm sorry, I don't believe that guy.
I don't believe it either. And he changed it in midstream. It was a living dog until he decided to change
it. Let's go to Bobby in Louisiana. Bobby.
How y'all doing?
Hi, Bobby.
Now, if this guy's on the line, we could have a contender here.
Oh, really good.
Yes. Bobby in Lafayette, Louisiana.
How y'all doing?
You're listening to us on radio station 105.9 FM.
I want to...
Oh, beautiful.
The rooster. Okay, very good.
And
beautiful.
Another thing I wanted to tell y'all. I figured out how they get those cocks to go where they want.
Okay, listen, you know what? Don't even talk about it. Just leave the driving to us on that topic.
Yeah, just stop.
Okay,
we have to.
Something good, but never mind.
We have to
all
move
right.
on.
Well, I work on one of my jobs is working on a cattle farm.
On a cattle farm.
Cattle farm, and one of the black cows had a stillborn baby today. And sometimes the placenta doesn't come all the way out.
Oh,
I'm chasing it around trying to get the placenta out of the cow right now.
All right. God, you're trying to pull a placenta out of a cow?
It's hanging out, and if you don't get it out, they'll get an infection, and it can hurt the cow.
Now, how can you prove this to us, that you're trying to pull a placenta out of a cow?
Well, if I can get a cow to move for you.
Yeah, get a cow to move for us.
All right, move. They ain't gonna move. Come here.
Get it.
Don't hurt the animal, sir.
Well, shoot.
They run. Hold on, I'm running.
They run.
Even though we were eating them last night.
They run.
Everybody was eating those cows last night. Big cow, big pieces of cow.
Dude, that's good placenta.
Are you near the cow with the placenta hanging out of it now?
They're real protective. And whenever they have them, now she's running away from me.
And you're on a cell phone.
I'm on, yes.
What are you doing now? What are you doing?
I'm chasing after that cow.
Does it make it harder because you're barefoot?
No, I'm not barefoot.
With your rope belt.
And you're going to choke on your piece of wheat that's between your teeth.
Really?
Big all straw right. hat.
This is just one of my jobs.
Well, listen, are you chasing after the cow that has the placenta
yes.
hanging out of it right now?
Yes.
Do you sometimes almost trip on the fringe coming off your overall long pants?
I do that. I do have on overalls, though.
You do?
Gigantic buck teeth.
I have not heard a cow.
Howdy-doody freckles.
There you go.
Well, they're all running.
Oh,
Oklahoma, where the wind blows swiftly across the plains.
All right, well, you're going to have to, Bobby, you have to prove to us very quickly that you're actually pulling a placenta out of a cow. Because I got to tell you, I got a guy on the next line who's draining a dog's anal glands right now.
Oh, my God. That's pretty good. That's pretty strong.
If you can see what this placenta looks like,
I know.
You can gross out even more.
I'm sure.
Bobby, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Bobby.
Got to let you go. Let's go to Chris in Portland, Oregon. Chris.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Now, is this the guy who's draining a dog's anal glands?
Yeah, my dog, his anal glands don't work properly, and it's a 170-pound mastiff.
Oh, my God.
And if I don't get to him, this is the craziest thing. I've actually seen him. He, like, jumps up all scared like something's going on, and about a 5-foot stream of oily, stinky anal juice comes flying out of his backside.
It is brutal.
He's never done it on the carpet. He did it one time in the kitchen floor, though, which is linoleum.
Oh, God, that was about the most disgusting thing.
I took him to the vet, and I'm like, what is going on? And the guy taught me how to drain his anal glands and said I should do it about every 2 months.
All right, for everybody who's listening, how do you drain a dog's anal glands?
You put your thumb right underneath the tail, insert your two long fingers up to the top of the basic colon, I guess, and you feel these lumps, and you massage them. And when you do that, this juice just comes pouring out all over. And
I will
swear
you,
to God, I've never smelled anything like it.
Let me tell you right now, I hope your dog appreciates what you are doing for it. And I'll tell you, you're also listening. I've heard about this procedure before, right. And I've had it done to my dog, and I will tell you right now, it is the one reason I couldn't ever imagine being a vet.
I couldn't imagine ever being a dog.
Oh, man.
Well, I took him to the vet like 3 times, and it's like $60 a whack. The dog ain't worth $60 a whack, tell you that. So
you know,
I've got to learn how to do it. And,
you were saying, hold on a second, sir. You were saying you imagine being the dog, but I'm going to ask this guy. When you do that, do you get the impression that the dog is enjoying himself?
Oh, yeah. Did the dog get a boner?
No, he kind of looks at me a little weird, I swear. He gives me this look like, what the hell are you doing? And I kind of get embarrassed, you know, and I look at him like, hey, buddy, you know, I've just got to do my job. But
all right, listen, hold on a second. Hold on, please. You know what? He's going to be the leader. We're going to have to let the girl who plunged your toilet go.
Yeah, that's Amy.
And also, the guy couldn't prove to us that he was pulling the placenta out of the cow.
That is true.
So we'll do one more break, since we spent some time yelling about Jeremy.
That's right.
To give everybody a chance, if you've got anything better than the guy in Portland who's draining his dog's anal glands right now, call us on the toll-free, and we'll wind up where are you listening to this show right after this.
This broadcasting from the legendary studios of WNEW in New York City, here's Don and Mike.
Hey, we just had some real good placenta talk going here in the studio.
Absolutely, just talking placentas, talking about, you know, placentas have been in the news before.
Placentas in the news. There was an HBO special
where a lady actually took her own placenta and cooked it up, turned it into a pate, served it on crackers to a cocktail party.
You know, it's one thing for a woman to eat her own placenta.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do that type of thing.
But to spread it on a cracker, to spread it on a Ritz,
right.
On a chicken and biscuit, or what's the name of that cracker?
Chicken and a biscuit.
To wipe your own placenta on a Triscuit.
Now, you don't know if it was chicken and a biscuit.
And everything's better on a Ritz.
God. And these people came over, she wasn't sneaking it in there. They were coming to her house because they were going to eat placenta.
And this was on HBO.
Yeah, it was. I think, Charlie, it was Shock Video, right? A Shock Video show. And there she was, and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Marge, great placenta.
In a way, that's cannibalism, right?
Kind of.
I mean, technically?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there she was frying it up and then putting it in her food processor, spreading it on a cracker, and then all her geeky little Eat the Geek friends came over, and they were going, this is wonderful. Well, you put enough salt and pepper and something.
It tastes good.
Enjoy a rich placenta on a buttery club cracker.
That is delicious placenta.
Great placenta.
What it really was, she made placenta pate. That is what she made. It was, and these people were all, they had close-ups of the people as they were putting it in their mouth and going, God.
Tasty.
What's wrong with people?
Damn, this is tasty, placenta.
It's delicious.
Is this fresh? This placenta is some of the best I've ever had.
That's right. Well, I mean, the first secret of all great foods, of course, you make them spreadable.
Mom, can I have a placenta and peanut butter sandwich?
Of course you can. Yes, let me get my butter knife. That's good placenta.
I was walking down the hall with a piece of chocolate. I was walking down the hall with a jar of placenta.
Hey, you got your chocolate in my placenta.
Hey, you got your placenta in my chocolate.
Wow, what a great combination.
Great idea.
Two great tapes that taste great together.
Reese's placenta cups. Oh my God.
They're back for Easter. Cadbury's Easter placentas.
Cadbury cream placentas.
That's it.
Those are good. How about a fluffer placenta?
Fluffer placenta.
Yes, just a little placenta and marshmallow fluff.
Okay, let's go back to these calls.
Very good.
Let's go to Jessica. There's no way that Jessica is going to win this contest. Jessica, hi. Where are you right now listening to the show?
I'm in a camera room.
In a camera room?
What is a camera room, honey?
A camera room is like a little room. I work for a retailer, and I sit here all day and look at cameras, watch people shopping.
Oh.
That's people shoplifting.
Hey, can you pick up? Can you pick up, please?
Hello?
Oh, that's much better. Thank you, Jessica.
So you're monitoring the security cameras?
Yes.
How many monitors do you have in front of you?
We have 25.
Wow.
You watch people pick their noses?
Yes.
besides the shoplifting, what is the most amazing thing you've seen a customer of your store do?
I had a guy go into the women's department. And
yeah.
Grab a whole bunch of bra and panties and go into the fitting room and come out wearing them and modeling them for people.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
All right. Well, Jessica, listen, I'm sorry. That simply does not beat the guy who's draining his dog's anal glands.
Okay.
Thank you, Donnie. Thank you for this. Let's go to Randall from Georgia. Hello, Randall.
Yeah,
Randall,
guys.
Buddy. Hi, buddy.
Howdy. How's it going?
Hi, going great. Where are you listening to our show right now?
I'm just outside of Watkinsville, Georgia. I drive around the back roads around Commerce and Athens picking up pap smears and fecal samples and urine and blood for a medical lab.
Yeah, scary gig.
But, you know, comparing that to putting your fingers in your dog.
You can't compare it.
Yeah.
No comparison.
I mean, that's, you know, in everything and most of the stuff you deal with is probably wrapped in foil.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
And our
great question.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
I wouldn't mind a little pappy smear on a cracker.
Oh,
you know, if we were having...
Now I'm getting a gag reflex. Oh,
if we were having placenta on crackers...
Well, yeah, you can make it just a little buffet.
Hey, Mom, how about a placenta and pappy smear?
Pappy smear.
On.
It's not a pap smear with you. It's a P-A-P-P-Y smear.
Yes, on marble rye.
Rye crisps.
I don't know. Let's go to Bob. Bob, you're on the air. Bobby.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Bob.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, just to qualify myself, I worked at a veterinary for about 3 years, and they used to play a trick. They'd ask if you could see the tick and then squirt the anal gland juice on you.
Well, wait a minute. How would they do it? You mean like
they'd be up there prepared. You've got to stick your finger in the rectum, and then they would say, hey, here, is this a tick? And you'd look down there, and when you're about 6 inches away,
God!
They shoot anal juice in your face.
That would be fighting time. That's
well,
hard.
Not when you're a 14-year-old kid and you're talking with doctors, you just kind of go watch yourself.
Oh, God. All right. That doesn't sound too hanky, too. The doctor playing, you know, squirting an anal gland at the 14-year-old boy.
Let's try one more. Let's go to Tony in Baltimore. Tony?
Tony!
You're the last chance. Tony, where are you listening to the show right now?
I'm actually working at a porn store with the video J.O. booth instead of the peep show. It's like a peep show, but it's a video.
Really?
No.
Wow. Is there anybody in your booth?
No, I'm actually the only one. I'm actually
video
outside the booth actually working.
J.O.?
Does it have a volume control?
Actually, I can walk in one of the rooms.
And you can turn it up?
Yeah, let's hear it. Let us hear what a J.O. booth sounds like in a porn store.
We're looking at a porn store.
Oh, no.
J.O.
Ha ha ha.
You know, the only thing that would make this guy even have a chance to win is if he actually walked in on a guy who was viewing one of the movies. That's the only thing.
All right, let me see if I can get... They locked from the inside, so that's the only problem. Let me see.
Do you have customers in there?
Oh, there's actually one, but he's a regular. I don't want
to... You don't want to tick him off?
He's a regular.
How can I be there and here?
Hey.
I was hoping you'd play that jingle.
Open!
No, come on, this guy's lying to us.
Yeah, he's just sitting there with his own VCR.
Actually,
open! Open! No, get rid of that.
Not
guy.
Thick enough.
There's actually two guys here.
No, get
not
rid of
that.
Yeah. Okay. We knew you were lying anyway.
Go back to Chris, the guy who's draining the dog's anal glands. Chris?
Yes, sir.
Chris, do you wear a glove when you do this?
Yeah, you wear like a surgical glove, but
no, good for you.
If you got a long sleeve shirt on, you're in trouble because it's still about halfway up your elbow.
Chris,
oh my God!
Congratulations,
you're the big winner, Chris. Nobody can top that.
No, we've had.
Thank you.
We've had a bunch of wacky ones today, and I still maintain that the guy who was cremating bodies would have beaten out the guy who's draining his dog's anal glands, but because the crematory guy had to drop out,
right?
Chris from Portland, you're the big winner.
Beautiful.
What is your dog's name, Chris?
Otis.
I have to go drain Otis's anal glands.
Exactly.
Chris, thank you for listening. Hold on just a second.
Wow.
You know, now we've run out of time. Play the buzz music, because now we've run out of time for the nude feud.
With all that talk of anal glands.
So I guess we'll tell the people in the lobby to come back next week.
Absolutely.
When we're in New York next week, we'll send Robbie out on the street to see if he can find any others for us.
Robbie rapidly becoming very familiar with the streets of New York.
Yeah, boy, he's going to have to go out and find his contestants for our contest. You're going to have to go hold up a sign that says you want to have sex with Carson Daly.
That's right.
Although we think we have an even better idea of a way to get to Carson Daly next week.
Absolutely.
Top secret. Can't tell you about it. Top secret, though. Buzzy?
Yes.
It's time for the news and the comments part two. What is your lead story on this segment?
Well, since it's Bodily Functions Day on the Don and Mike Show, up next, MTV's Tom Green visits a sperm bank.
Oh good. Okay. Yes. I watched a Tom Green, I guess it was on Monday night, a repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason it was funny was because he was dicking around with radio stations.
Oh, really?
And you know how so many radio guys think they're funny?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm sure they watch Tom Green and they go, boy, if I could ever do that, that avant-garde type of comedy, I'd do it.
Right.
Here's what he did. He was in Cincinnati, so he put on a pimp outfit. And he walked into every radio station in Cincinnati and he said, "Hi, I'm Venus Flytrap. Where's Johnny? I'm here. Where's Andy, the program director?" And at every radio station, one by one, the Dickey program director would come out and say, "Tom Green, this is not funny." And you know Tom Green, when he gets something and he stays with it?
Oh, and he's just to be as annoying as he can.
And he's got this big, gigantic cowboy hat on and his big leather jacket. And he's saying to these program directors, "But I'm Venus Flytrap."
And they're getting more annoyed, more annoyed.
And they would like say to him, "Okay, it's time to go. Take his arm. Start dragging him down the hall." He went to maybe six or seven radio stations in a row just to jerk that chain.
In Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati.
That's great.
As Venus Flytrap.
I love that guy. That guy. I mean, and you know, the thing is, I think I saw him on Dennis Miller when Dennis Miller interviewed him. And Dennis Miller said, you know, normally when you see a guy like an Andy Kaufman or you see one of those comedians that's doing that for his act, you know, you think that there's some manipulation going on there, that there's a method. He said, "I look in your eyes and I just see two band roll-on balls, you know. You are really doing this for other reasons and I don't know what they are."
But that would be a great show. That would be maybe two of the funniest guys on the planet. It would be Dennis Miller talking to Tom Green.
And Dennis Miller pulled it off. It was funny to see those guys together.
Three knots between those two guys. You figure out. So, Buzz, we'll talk about Tom Green.
Yes, we will.
When we come right
back.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
Producing comments.
Coming up. Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. And that, of course, is very...
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports. Broadcasting from the studios of WNEW in New York City. Here's Don and Mike.
All right, let me just give you a little tip-in on tomorrow's episode.
Very good.
Tomorrow we're going to start out by see what we can do for the guy at the crematory, because we've just received word that he has been fired.
Well, you know, I mean, unfortunately, that's happened. Maybe we can get him a job at another crematory.
We're going to try. I'm positive that he never gave out the name of his business on the air.
We can go back and check, but you know, he probably could get fired for mentioning the age of the recipient of the burning.
83.
Right.
So we'll have him on the show tomorrow. Get him a job at a bakery.
Shut up, Rob.
Also tomorrow is the one time of the year that we have that absolute nitwit Mel Kiper Jr. on.
He's a nitwit, but he does know his stuff when it comes to the NFL draft.
And we'll get him to predict the first five picks in the NFL draft.
Very good.
Also tomorrow, Chuck Stossel, a brand new low-budget Jeopardy, and we'll be giving away a portable DVD player.
All right.
All of that on tomorrow's episode. Next week, we have Rick Rockwell coming in.
Yeah, we're going to grill him and find out exactly what the deal is.
I read something about him today that he's tired of being interviewed.
Oh, is he now?
Yeah, so it'll be a good time for him to get to us.
Yeah, maybe, you know, he'd be the kind of guy, it wouldn't be all that bad if we parted enemies.
And then next week, some special stuff when we come back to New York.
Absolutely.
Some special stuff that we were not able to get to today. Now here is Guy J. Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, MTV comedian Tom Green has been told by doctors that if he needs chemo for his testicle cancer, it may mean he'll be unable to impregnate a woman. That's not necessarily a bad thing for anybody that watches the Tom Green show.
And he's dating Drew Barrymore. So who wants to see that baby anyway?
Oh, you. So there's that. Us Weekly says Tom took his girlfriend Drew Barrymore with him when he went to the sperm bank. He went there to make a deposit for if and when the day comes that he wants to be a daddy. Green says it was a very embarrassing experience. He says the attendant asked if Drew would be the recipient. He says he answered, Gramps, I think your headphones are turned up a little loud.
Yeah, I realize. I've been having a hard time finding a good level for these today.
You want to use mine?
I may do that.
Here, go ahead.
Would you like just a miracle ear, Buzz?
Plug me in, then. No, it's plenty loud. In fact, if anything, it's been too loud, and I've been having a hard time finding the right...
Be like Johnny Fever. Just do the news without headphones.
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
All right.
He's just going to take his headphones off.
How's that, Buzz? All right,
there you go. Headphones. Headphones.
Now. Okay, you can do it without headphones?
For a while, anyway. Green says the attendant asked if Drew would be the recipient of his deposit. He answered, we've only been going out for 3 months.
And now look at him now that he doesn't have the headphones on.
He's totally uncomfortable.
Now he can really strike a pose. He's doing that newsman pose thing now.
This is London.
Where should my hands be exactly?
you do this thing where you...
Yeah. Well, like, I have to park them somewhere.
You got one here and one here, and then you put them together.
Right.
Whatever makes you comfortable, Buzz.
All right.
You know, we're just not used to seeing all of you.
That's true. You usually see just the head and shoulders, I think.
Yes.
And then the attendant gave Tom Green a jar and led him into a room stocked with porno movies. Green says Drew went into that room with him, quoting him, talk about performance anxiety.
Oh, that's for sure.
So the two of them went into the room together.
J.O., that's that guy that called from the porn store. They were in there. He said there were two people in there.
She masturbated me.
I need to see you.
That is Rodman.
How you doing? I'm sorry I'm late. I was upstairs with Karen McCormick.
What were you doing over there?
She masturbated me. Thank you, Carmen Electric.
Another bad day on Wall Street. The Dow down 201 points today. NASDAQ down 93. And the husband of Paul McCartney's new girlfriend has put out a warning to Paul about what he's getting into.
Hey, Paul. Me daughter's got one leg.
And she's not nice. That's what this story's going to say.
Millionaire Alfie Kamal says Heather Mills is a compulsive liar and a gold digger. He says he divorced Heather 9 years ago after she sold the BMW he'd given her and used the money to run away with a ski instructor.
So it's the ex-husband of Paul McCartney's new girlfriend.
Exactly. Okay.
All right, I got you. I thought you were saying it was her father.
No, sour grapes here from the ex.
Gotcha.
Kamal says he kept quiet 5 years ago when she badmouthed him in her autobiography. Now he says it's his turn to talk about her. And he has one word for Paul McCartney. Beware.
Ooh, man.
What was the guy's name?
Alfie Kamal.
That was his brother Bill. Remember Bill Kamal?
Bill Kamal, the weatherman. Where is he now? Is he down in Miami?
He's in Miami.
He's in Miami.
He's the weatherman in Miami.
Bill Kamal. Nice eyebrows.
Remember the story about him?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
About him in the alley in Georgetown?
Yes.
I don't know if that story is true or not.
Wasn't it in the news?
I guess not. I think it might have just been in the news. It was in the news that we repeat to each other.
I believe so. We'll never know if that was a true story.
I bet it was, though.
A true story about him.
Really?
Yeah, doing something.
Bill Kamal, weatherman.
Doing something unsavory.
Channel 9 weatherman.
By himself or with somebody?
No,
somebody.
No, with a friend. With a high-pressure front. With sweeping high pressure coming in.
Absolutely.
From the top of his trousers to the bottom.
Absolutely, yeah.
Expected drizzle?
If his friend was Superman, Bill Kamal might be the headless weatherman. There you go.
We will,
as much as we can tell you.
Yeah, they were having a good day.
Way to camouflage it.
We will never completely understand women, but we always have statistics. A new survey by Elle magazine shows the following sexual profile of its average reader. She lost her virginity at 18. She's had 10 lovers.
Sounds like Beth, our intern.
Mm-hmm. Just under half the readers say they've had sex, they have sex several times a week.
Again, that's Beth, our intern.
About half say they masturbate several times a week.
That's Toya, our intern.
About half the readers of Elle magazine say they use porno and sex toys.
That's Lisa, our intern.
That's nearly 60. We haven't done the quiz yet.
How did you find
out?
I know about her.
She's an info. Nearly 60% have had a one-night stand.
That's Miss Bobby, our office manager.
Oh, no.
I'm just going through all the women we work with.
But fewer than 1 in 5 of the women have had a lesbian experience, and only 17% have engaged in any kind of group sex.
And Tammy.
Yeah, and I say give them all time.
Now you know the number.
That's Tammy, because it's Tammy's birthday today. Happy birthday to Tammy.
Happy birthday, the best promotions director in the whole wide world.
Buzz, hold on a second, please. Let's do this and come right back with more news and comment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Prosecutor says as much as 90% of the sports memorabilia sold in this country is bogus. And he says the more popular the athlete, the more likely the souvenir is counterfeit.
I hope that's not true about that jersey I got your son.
Oh, the Brett Favre jersey?
Because wouldn't he be like turbo popular? And if it's 90%, then the odds are that's fake.
Probably is.
Oh, well.
Probably is.
Tell him I'm sorry.
That's all right.
He's got a bad ear, and now he finds out that...
No, actually, I think that jersey was good.
Really?
I actually... No offense to you.
Yeah.
I went in a collectible website where they had a picture of Brett Favre's autograph.
To check it out?
So you could see if it was real. And if it's not Brett Favre, it's a goddamn good copy.
It's amazing, though.
It's like an autographed picture of Don and Mike.
Yeah.
The prosecutor says it's not so much let the buyer beware as it is let the buyer get his head examined.
Well, now, Buzz, that's not true, because you know Rob signs all of our publicity pictures.
You know that.
We don't hide that from our audience.
He's the best.
He really can do our signatures perfectly.
It's better than using a machine.
Yeah.
Oh,
who would do that?
Who would do that, Mike?
I don't know.
Who would use a machine to sign autographs?
I don't know, Don.
Well, this prosecutor who says 90% of the stuff is fake was commenting on the big bust this week in San Diego, in which 20 people were arrested for selling fake memorabilia. In addition to all the usual sports names, the items included autographs from Al Einstein, Abe Lincoln, Princess Di, and Mother Teresa.
Can I tell you something, Alzheimer's?
Yes.
You did the same story yesterday.
This is a follow-up to yesterday's story, in which we're now saying the federal prosecutor in this case is saying...
Listen, this
is yesterday's news.
He's ripping the news.
What I didn't tell you yesterday.
No.
Hey, you're ripping my pass.
Okay.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
It's yesterday's news. Yeah, give me one more. Give me something goddamn fresh.
Oh, okay, son. Here we go.
Son.
Pro Bowl fullback Sam Gash is reportedly up for grabs as Buffalo struggles to make. Buffalo's struggling to make more room under its salary cap before this weekend's draft. The Buffalo paper says it's one of the few options left for the Bills and that it's being considered seriously. The paper says the Bills need to clear another 860 large to make room for their 8 draft picks this weekend. Gash makes $850,000 a year.
Mm.
So fits right in.
Gash. Okay, hold on. You're out, right?
Yeah, I'm out.
That's it. Yeah, you're on fumes really this whole break. Let's go to break. Let me hear the Toads Have and Touchstones, Jimmy. Lay them on me. Play them geezer style. Tuck them into your pants.
Oh, God.
Be the 100th person to call the show right now. And Buzz, I love that when you call me son. That's an excellent comeback.
You got to give a little more southern, though. You'll make it. You'll feel like his mother-in-law.
Yeah. Hello, son. Call 100 right now. A prize package selected especially for you. The last shot at winning tomorrow's portable DVD player and
I shot it. Have on your rent or mortgage paid. Good luck. Call Toyo right now. 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show.
All right, Buzzers, wind it up. We got a plane to catch.
In sports, this could change again, but the latest word is the New York Jets won't give up their 4 first-round draft picks to Cleveland in trade for the Browns' number one pick. But remember, the Jets also said they wouldn't trade Keyshawn Johnson, who's now in Tampa Bay. And Cleveland says it's still willing to consider the draft switch with the Jets. And finally, sex news from around the world.
Okay.
A new survey from London says that sex the night before a marathon run is good for the runner.
I know. I do that before all my marathons.
Quoting one official of Sunday's London Marathon, every competitor planning to build a last-minute lovemaking session into their training program will run faster than those who don't.
Mm-hmm.
In Rome.
And if you do it during the marathon, it's even better.
In Rome, one of Italy's most famous porn stars says she's had enough of a hard life and will take a spiritual retreat. The 30-year-old says she'll take a 3-week break before going back to work.
But do we have a name for this porn star?
No, actually we don't.
Vanessa Del Rio?
We wish.
Cacolina.
And in Zambia, some judges have issued an unusual order to a man who was trying to get a divorce. The judges told the man, in fact, they ordered the man to work harder in bed. That's not right.
I'll try, Your Honor.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
We're done. Done.
And not a moment too soon.
Goodbye, Turkey. My attorney will be in touch.
Oh, man, we got to catch the next show.
Sorry, we're out of town.
No! Yeah, we've got to go, yes.
Oh!
That's an out of show. Thank you to everybody at WNEW. Been so nice to us the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, we appreciate
Matt last 2 days.
2 days. Just we weren't here for 2 weeks. We appreciate the welcome they gave us.
I'm sure that they will sour on us by the time we return.
Yes.
Next week. For our next round of shows from New York. Back in the D.C. studios tomorrow. We want to thank Beth and Lisa and Toya. And also limited thanks to Big Gum Jim.
Way to go, Jimmy.
And, of course, Jeremy Coleman, F you for editing this show. cockfight. And spitting. All over the place.
You're a bad kid.
Oh, he ruined one of our greatest bits.
I know.
That was like best of stuff. We never get best of stuff from the news.
I agree.
And finally, it was going to be a best of segment from the news, and now he totally ruined it.
I know he did.
He Jack Kevorkian'd us.
He destroyed it.
Little prick. But he won't be able to come in and take this part out of the show, though.
No, I don't think so.
He's already gone home for the day.
That's wonderful.
Right, cockfight.
That's very exciting.
Cockfight. Two big gigantic cocks fighting each other. I'm all for cockfighting.
Very good. I know you support that.
He's still here? Oh, great. Oh,
that's it.
When does he go back to his one-room apartment?
When the show is over.
When the show is over.
Show's over. He's a dedicated professional.
All right. F him. Jimmy Touchstones, please. And time for a caller. 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hi. Are you there, caller?
All right, try the next line, Jimmy. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
During the break. I had to hit the dump. Hold on 1 second.
Oh,
there you are.
Oh. You know what? Jimmy, let me say this to you. F you, too. did you just dump out all the stuff about cockfighting?
No, I really had dead air during the break I had to hit.
You what?
You're lying.
You have a caller right now. I had to hit dead air during the break.
You're lying. You dumped out because I was talking about big, hairy, black cocks fighting.
Oh, God. Oh, no. We're going to miss our plane.
No, we're not. We're fine. We've got plenty of time. I got all night to talk about cockfighting, Mike.
He's in a bad mood.
Oh, I hate that. We're being edited now in 2 places.
We are.
You realize that not only does Jeremy edit the show here,
right,
but Big Gum Jim is editing the show back there.
I know, and our listeners are the poorer for it.
Yes, all the poor. And on the poor cocks.
I know.
That's what I'm thinking about, too, those poor cocks that are fighting. Hey, what's your name?
Chris.
Hey, Chris, where are you from?
South Carolina, Easley.
Okay, say it now. Say it.
Easley, South Carolina?
No. You got to say something else. I know that we were off on a rant there about the improper management of the show.
All winners at the end of the show have to say this.
Uh-oh.
You remember?
I'm a new listener today.
Oh, you're a new listener. Well, you're SOL.
Okay, let's go to the next one, Jimmy. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It's me.
Say it.
Winner.
Say it, say it.
I'm the winner. It's me. I'm caller 100.
Yes, yeah, there you go.
All right.
You have nightmares tonight about being edited.
I know. It's terrible. It'll be Jeremy running down the hallway chasing you with a big razor in his hand.
With a big cock in his hand.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
With a big rooster in his hand.
Yes, a rooster.
How much you want to bet that this whole part of the show...
It's going to be a total abomination.
Just never gets on the air tonight in New York.
It'll
never
horrible.
Get on. What's your name, my friend?
Norm.
Where are you calling from?
Nevada here.
And Reno, caller 100, you've won the Fresh Samantha Prize Pack.
Mm.
Enjoy Fresh Samantha juices today, available in delis and grocery stores everywhere. But wait, you've also qualified for tomorrow's weekly prize, which will give it away a portable DVD player, courtesy of DVDExpress.com. DVDExpress.com is the best place to go for new releases. Visit DVDExpress.com and take Hollywood home. You've also qualified to have us pay your rent or your mortgage. We're doing that 2 weeks from tomorrow. How much do you pay every month in rent or mortgage?
That's $1,200.
Nice big one.
That's terrific.
Love to do that for you. Thank you for listening to the show.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, hold on a second, please. Hold on. Okay.
I hope he was okay, that caller.
We're off. We're off to the airport.
Yes, we'll be back in Washington, D.C. tomorrow.
See you tomorrow with the all-new episode. Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Geese.
Thank you, and good night, Don.
Son. Thank you. Okay,
good
now,
son.
Rob, please toss your imaginary hat in the air. There you go.
Oh, you're the man. Thank you, son. Thank you, son.
Let Mike put that right in your mouth. That's it. We got to go, Danny.
So long, everybody. Danny.
Danny, see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
So we need to go. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been.
And the dad was over in the corner talking to the other divers, the other guy.